Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap of the slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
I got a judge that's just aching to throw me in jail. I got no money, a dress code problem, not to mention your biological clock. Is there any more shit we could pile on to the top of the outcome of this case? Is it possible?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
All right, knock it off. You know, you ragging on me is not going to give me any great spontaneous knowledge.
Paul Perillo.
You just keep on asking about Chinese food. Can't you tell they don't have Chinese restaurants around here? Gotta let everybody know you're a tourist.
And Andy. And Andy?
Everything that guy just says is bullshit. Thank you.
Andy Hart.
Let me see. This is a tough decision you're giving me here. Get my ass kicked to collect $200. What do you think? I could use a good ass kick, and I'll be very honest with you.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
You stick out like a sore thumb around here.
Me? What about you?
I fit in better than you. At least I'm wearing cowboy boots.
Oh, yeah, you blend.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Imagine you're Medea. You're prancing along, you get thirsty, you spot a little brook, you put your little deer lips down to the cool, clear water.
Bam! A bullet rips off part of your head. Your brains are laying on the ground in little bloody pieces. Now I ask you, would you give a what kind of pants a son of a who shot you was wearing?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It's a big day here because the schedule's coming out tonight.
Oh, I thought because Andy from Dartmouth got us lunch.
Well, that's huge. I don't know what to make of this.
Doesn't that mean I get to speak first and say whatever I want?
We can read your email.
Andy comes into my office this morning.
When I finally found you.
And says, you know, since no one has stepped up to buy lunch, I'm going to buy lunch and I'm going to get a couple pizzas. And I was kind of speechless. I just kind of stared at him. He goes,
up.
You like pepperoni? I'm like.
You were waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah.
I figured.
And sure enough, down here comes two very thin crusted pizzas, I have to say, but pizzas nonetheless.
Well, that's a shot at the restaurant, not Andy, because I don't control the way the pizzas
Where'd
made.
Where'd you get the pizzas from?
Plus, they weren't cheap.
Tavolino.
Tavolino. They're delicious.
Good, not great.
No?
Good, not great. The Aaron Curry of pizzas, said.
Did you not know that was a place that was in Patriot Place?
I did.
That's all right. I think they're really good.
Good, not great. I can bring you in a much better thin crust pizza.
Okay.
I can bring you in a much better
Riccardi's
pizza
in Dartmouth, Mass.
From Patriot Place.
Where?
Davio's.
Get off your knees. Yeah. He blew Davio's on the way out, on the
Is
way
that
back.
Right?
I mean,
that's pretty good.
Jesus.
All right. And now he's got his mouth full.
Yeah.
Speaking of. all right.
Seriously, you know what I figured? When you have a kid, normal people pass out like cigars or something. I figured with this crew, I'll pass out some pizza.
That's great. And so that's.
Plus, I wanted to try it. And
it's like
you know.
A new Andy. I don't know. Having a girl, maybe. Has changed his outlook on life,
has
perhaps?
It? At all? Could be.
Could be. All right. Well, the gang's all here. Andy, Eric, Paul, me. Doctor
me.
In the booth. But also with Doctor is Toyota Tacoma, whose real name is Brian Tamouche. Right? Am I saying it right?
More or less.
Close enough. So we'll say Toyota Tacoma. That's his name. So he's
nothing like Tacoma.
Basically his first day on the job when it comes to the radio. So
he's been here for a while doing other things?
He started yesterday, right? Yeah, doctor walked him around yesterday. So he's going to be running.
Is it again, Brian Tamouche?
Tamash.
Oh, sorry, Scalavino.
No, it's Toyota Tacoma. Because I get 25 cents every time I say that name.
Tacoma.
Right, on the air.
Well, they do have the coolest ad on our website. Well, that rollover one where the truck rips up the other ad is the coolest ad on our website.
There's something coming that is even better. Not from Toyota, but from another new sponsor.
I don't actually understand. You know, Paul and I have always said we don't really understand the ad industry. But if I were the person whose ad was getting driven over and ripped up, I don't think I'd be happy. The Toyota one's really cool, but how does that work?
The other one comes from the NFL. We don't care. I didn't say that.
Bleep the what? NFL.
All right, Web
Aren't
Radio.
The one that the NFL works best when everyone's in the same boat and working together.
Web Radio at Patriots.com is the email address. It's Web Radio at Patriots.com.
Oh, yeah. Dead.
Phone number is 508-543-7482. As I said at the top of the show, the schedule does come out today at 7 o'clock. It'll be on Patriots.com, you know, God willing, right
it'll
at 7 o'clock.
Also be at CBS scene, right?
And, yes, and what's also NFL pretty Network. Cool is NFL Network will be live at CBS scene for a two-hour schedule party. And so that's at 7 o'clock at CBS scene. If you're in the driving distance of Gillette Stadium, check it out. Mr. Kraft, I hear, will be there.
Oh, really?
They're going to be giving away a pair of tickets to the opening game, Monday Night Football, against the Bills here at the stadium. So, and I'm sure they'll be giving out some other stuff, too.
Plus, they have food.
Plus, they have food and drink. So, that's CBS scene tonight at 7 o'clock if you're within shouting distance of Gillette Stadium.
Now it's shouting? I thought it was driving.
So, one person who's not within shouting distance of Gillette Stadium is John in L.A. John's on the phone. John, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Good. I wanted to get your take on a couple of scenarios in the draft and which you would prefer.
Okay.
The first couple include keeping all of your other, the second and third of the second round picks. First one is if we could get Vontae Davis at 23 and Connor Barwin, and keep, you know, and not without trading up or anything with the other picks. The other option would be Larry English and Darius Butler.
Yes.
Hey, yep, I like that one. Hey, that's my combo.
And oh, really? Oh, I would love that. Larry English and Percy Harvin.
I'd love that too.
Yes.
Yep.
Or Ray Mauluga and Pat White, but Pat White would have to be with we would have to trade one of our number twos to get up to get Ray Mauluga.
No, thanks.
Yeah, okay. I don't want that either.
So you guys think Larry English and Darius Butler.
That's yes, very intriguing.
Yeah, and I also like Harvin very much. And your first one was fine, too, with who did you have with Connor Barwin?
Vontae Davis.
See, I think the corners might be a little high.
Yeah, that one doesn't feel like value.
But I do like the player. I'm not sure I like the player at 23. But I like the middle two the best.
I recently heard that the cornerback crop is just crappy, like compared to other years. People don't like it.
Well, I think the top end of it might be
good.
I
not
think
great.
It's deep, not it's more middle yeah. heavy like Paul than top heavy like me.
Right.
That's actually accurate, but it's pretty accurate. Unfortunate, but accurate.
Oh, and Andy, congratulations!
I haven't
thank you.
Kind of mean.
Okay, well, you know everybody's been saying it, but it's really great.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Sure. One last question before I get off. Tyrone McKenzie. What do we know about this guy? He's coming in for a visit.
That's a good question.
Eric?
Yes, I'm going to refer to my notes.
I don't know Tyrone McKenzie.
I know.
Very well.
I'm trying to get to my notes, John, as quickly as I can. Tyrone McKenzie, South Florida. We had no footage of him, so we were unable to come up with anything substantive on our own.
The only thing I've read is that he's coming for a visit to the Giants and the Patriots, and that he's projected to be around his second or third rounder.
I can tell.
And we don't have video on him.
He's one of the. Yeah, we didn't have any video of him.
We didn't have video of Aaron Maben either. He's going to be probably
he's
a top
be a
10 pick, maybe top 15 pick.
According to our friends at NFL Draft Scout, however, McKenzie transferred twice and had 100 tackle seasons at Iowa State and then South Florida.
I don't mean to poo-poo you, but this is one of those guys. You wrote no footage, and I wrote a lot. I watched this guy.
What?
I gave him a slight up arrow. He's a guy that's been productive at two different colleges, transferred around a little bit, Iowa State and South Florida.
Do you have him, Paul?
I don't have him.
What were you watching?
Doesn't stand out in anything.
But I didn't watch the
I liked that he had a good motor. He's a pretty lean build. I think he's 6'2", 244. I think he's an inside linebacker in the Patriots system, although he's listed as an outside linebacker in most projections. I was lukewarm on him. I didn't love him, but I thought he was a decent guy. I think he'd be a good complementary to Mayo.
So he played for Kirk Ferentz?
No, Iowa State, and then he went
Iowa
to
State.
South Florida. I believe he actually started out at Michigan State, transferred to Iowa State, and then transferred to South Florida.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, what do you make of guys that do a lot of transferring?
There is a, I don't know about the first one, but I believe there's a health issue with a parent for the second one.
That's what I read too.
To get to a mother or a father was ailing and he wanted to be closer.
Well, I'll cut him some slack there with the second one, but normally that's rule number 19B,
right?
Is you have a one transfer per player rule for me.
Yeah, but
two transfers,
waived,
that's a red
flag. Waived it.
That's a red flag. Now, I'm talking about for me, not for real.
This is
just nonsense, John. Come on.
I'm just happy with my notes. I started out having never heard the name, and once I checked my notes, I had all kinds of info at my
Paul disposal. And I apparently missed that.
I just don't think I got to him yet because I did not watch all of the linebackers. That was the day that Chris was really harassing me to make sure I got some comments up on the website, and I didn't watch the whole disc. But
how do you remember what day that was? That seems to be every day. That he comes and harasses.
Well, there was one in particular who was really giving me a hard time. But I did notice when I was putting my comments in, Andy, I don't know if you came across this at all, but probably 3-4 times they'd be like, no footage available, Eric would write. And I would put my thing, geez, I had 3 or 4 comments
did
when
you
I
fall asleep in
I don't
some
know
of the
what
videos?
The hell happened. I don't know what happened. No, you know what? It was sometimes if you hit the forward arrow, it jumps to the next track. But
yeah,
that's
you can't jump chapters. You got to just fast forward.
I know.
Forward.
Sometimes I was trying to fast forward, and I might have.
Well, you had a background in TV.
I do.
Now I know why you're not in TV anymore.
It's a background like John's is.
Fast forwarding
TV.
Through episodes and skipping them.
Watching TV.
Right.
Oh, wow. Was that at yourself or at Eric?
Yeah. No, I was at
himself. No, that was at Eric.
Yeah, that was that was at himself.
That's at me, too, though. I watch DVDs as well, though, so. All right, guys, thanks a lot.
All right, John in L.A.
I have friends who watch DVDs.
We look forward to reading John's Friday outtakes every Friday on Patriots.com.
So. Good debate Friday, Fred, huh?
Yeah.
You and I, head-to-head.
Fred killed you.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, it's so good that other people are starting 60-40. To pick up on it.
Webmaster of Patriot Place, Nick Oldford, is the person who decides who wins, and he said, I won.
Hey, I'm fine with that because I'm undefeated with Nick.
Fred may have the vote of the masses, but the masses are often wrong. I'm staring at Barack Obama on TV right now.
Well,
speaking of which.
The point is I won.
Overrated.
You got your butt kicked. So.
The point is you had a terrible argument.
Enough.
I don't know how long the Wildcat's going to be around for.
That wasn't my whole argument.
That was the
so if
the
you're
going to
sum it up there,
the argument,
then
and the
that's
fact
probably
is,
why you lost.
If you draft a Wildcat player, he stays around as long as you want him to.
Right. That's what he does, though.
I know.
He fixates.
I kicked your
you
butt.
You change.
You had the popular
meeting.
Side.
Right.
Yeah, until they actually draft him.
Yeah. I had the right
then
side.
It'll go, then it'll go on
I, now
180
I'm
degrees.
Like,
I hope with the
20, I have my fingers crossed.
The 23rd pick, Pat White, and I'm going to just start punching you in the face and saying, I told you, oh!
That they use a second-round pick on him just to see the 98% approval rating that he'll get for that pick.
Great pick. A+.
Well,
and
obviously,
me, I
would have seen something beyond the Wildcat that we're all missing.
We're all not missing the fact that he's a great athlete, and we think he could probably
play
five
positions. I think
you're
missing what the Wildcat is if you think it's one thing. I mean, Wildcat, by nature, is the versatility.
Is wild.
Flexibility.
All right, well...
copycats, I mean...
And I'll be wholeheartedly among that 98%. I want Pat
What the Boston Globe do lately? What are they blogging about?
They did a top 10 list, right?
Oh, yeah, they did something else, too.
They did a poll on the Wildcat. It's a
good idea. Oh, they copied us?
Yeah.
Which is good, because I like that.
Yes. Yeah. Imitation is the most sincere form
sincere
of flattery.
Form of flattery.
I am flattered.
So...
Paul is...
Fat.
Fattered.
All right, webradiopages.com. And by the way, guys, I've done a lot of research on my project.
Have you?
Yes, I have.
Over the weekend?
Recently.
Do tell.
And I don't want to give it all away, but my hypothesis is not entirely accurate.
I don't know
accurate.
What your hypothesis
yeah, I don't know
was.
Your hypothesis.
That the value of those 10 picks have gone way down in terms of production and what you know we're paying for them. Not entirely true to some extent, yes, but you know, and there's some specific examples of where things got out of whack. But the biggest thing that kind of changed that whole top tier of you know salaries was the Peyton Manning year, 1998. That really kind of threw things out of whack, and they've been doing a pretty good job of fighting to get back to you know the increases like they were since then. But then there's been a couple hiccups, most notably last year, that is kind of screwing things up again. And I'll give you another hint. The Jets were involved in another one of those screw-ups with the Vernon Golston contract.
Well, so, you don't know that yet.
Well, what they paid him And
you just mean the raise, the percentage raise
yeah,
over the
percentage,
previous year?
Oh,
I'm sorry. I thought you meant as a player.
No, not as a player.
I didn't know what exactly you said that your hypothesis wasn't necessarily accurate.
Are you
claiming that the players aren't as good that get taken in the top 10 as they were
before? Well, basically, it's not my hypothesis. But what, you know, we're reading these Peter Kings and you know, Mortensons who say they're talking to front office people who are saying now that these top picks are toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to – why or are they? And they aren't necessarily as toxic as one might think.
But you're comparing dollars paid to performance in the top five.
Dollars paid to performance, and also what percentage of those dollars are being taken up in the cap.
Okay, because I think that's an important factor too.
Yes.
That's an
important
factor too.
You have to look at inflation. I'll give you another example. Most of the time, that top pick takes about 8 to 9% of the cap.
You know, okay.
Peyton's deal in 98 took over 15% of the cap. That kind of threw things off a little bit.
But
did
the
he
problem
ever, did,
is
did he, ever
he was good.
Deal?
Well, no,
he
no,
was worth
no.
it.
And I'm not thinking that the Colts, you know, regret one bit of that.
Right.
But, for teams following it, it made things a little different. His agent was Tom Condon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's a tough negotiator. The other thing they did with Peyton's deal that year is they created this new thing, these incentives. And from this point on, they call them the Peyton package. But it's a series of QB incentives that since that time, all the top agents representing quarterbacks have insisted be thrown in.
So now they're kind of commonplace.
And they're commonplace. And now it's infiltrated not just like the top 10, if you're picked in the top 10, but like guys like Kyle Bowler,
right.
Patrick Ramsey.
Wannabes.
Jason Campbell all have these packages. And they're called not likely to be earned incentives because you're a rookie.
Right.
But they really are.
Right.
If you become a starter, they're all going to be earned.
They're like, isn't that what when Drew Brees signed, he had like, or may not have been Brees, but it was somebody who had ridiculous, Philip Rivers, that's who it was. When he had like, you know, if you go to the Pro Bowl, you'll get this much extra.
This
if you take
Bowl,
us to the Super Bowl,
right.
you'll get this much
there's
extra.
80% of snaps. There's all kinds of things that really, if the guy lives up to what you want him to be, he's going to get them.
So like last year, Matt Ryan or Joe Flacco, potentially, because they
right.
both made the playoffs,
that's
they could
right.
have earned some
that's
of those.
Right. That's right.
See, those are the ones that kind of annoy me, too, because you're paying him a lot of money to do his job, but then you're saying if he does his job, you have to pay him a lot more. Well, no, I paid him a lot to do his job.
And that's
I don't like incentives in general.
And that's the thing.
I like them for lower-level players.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a fourth-round pick, but you go to the Pro Bowl and start 16 games, okay,
yeah.
I have to pay you $2 million more
yeah.
or whatever.
Now the Peyton deal, since that time, has to some extent affected the top four picks, whether they're quarterbacks or not. It kind of raised the ante. But last year was the first year it really started to infiltrate down to number eight. Then you saw the drop off after eight.
And who got the hell out of the top eight? Bill Belichick.
That's right. That's right. Now, so we'll see what happens after that. But, you know, all this stuff about, you know, the owners want to fix this, they want to fix that, you know, they have to be careful. Because, you know, after eight, there's another 250-some-odd players that get chosen. And those contracts are pretty good value-wise. So you don't want to, like, you know, throw out the baby with the bathwater. You know, you don't want to fix
it's
the
second
draft.
Second time I heard that today.
Yeah.
I heard that on the radio this morning.
You don't want to fix the draft only because the top eight. So that could be why a lot of teams are trying to get out of that top rung. You know,
they are a little toxic, though. If all these teams
they're
are trying
a little
to get
bit,
out.
They're a little bit. It's not to the extent I thought they
the
might
be. The intent of those picks
yes.
is to for a bad team to rebuild.
Yeah.
And if they're trying to get out, then it is broken because
right.
you can't put it to use the way it's
right.
supposed to be put to use.
There's no doubt that the value, you know, in terms of production versus price versus percentage of salary cap happens, you know, like we said, 20 to 50 or whatever it is.
But it's hard
know.
To say that Manning broke it because – he's great.
No,
you know what I mean?
Right. But
you need a Michael Olowokandi or some like guy who busted out.
But it gets down to the philosophy. Okay, he is great now. We didn't know he would be great. They assumed he would be. That's
right.
why they paid him. But now other guys since then.
That's the problem.
You know, that is the problem.
And that's the problem you face in all of them. It's like
yeah.
what Paul and I talked about last week with the NBA. In theory, having max contracts for great players is great. The trouble was a lot of mediocre to bad players
yeah.
got max contracts
right.
based on potential or what they could be. And that. But I think you're going to face that no matter what the system is.
Yeah.
Agents are going to tweak it and manipulate it to make sure they end up with a lot of money.
You know, and Paul, you said you don't like the incentives, but
no,
I
agree with Andy's point though. For lower rung guys that are just playing time,
right?
You know, you're not really expecting that guy to play. So if he plays a bigger role than you thought, he's exceeding his contract.
And they have that. They have that clause that's built
in. So I don't want to say all incentives. I don't like
that program's broken too. The fact that Tom Brady got a paycheck in that program tells me that program's broken.
Right.
I don't care if it was only $121. That money needs to go to somebody else. He does not need performance-based whatever that thing is.
Well, he got it back when he wasn't making that much money.
No,
he got it this year, $121. He played
One
half of one quarter and made
money,
millions of dollars, and still got $121.
That's weird.
Yeah, it shouldn't be all players.
I'm talking about for what the examples that you and Andy just talked about with, you know, players that you're drafting in a high spot and you're paying a lot of money, and then you have all these incentives that if they do what you're drafting them to do, you have to give them even more money. I don't like incentives. I really don't like incentives across the board. You know, any of those kind. You know,
but what if for rookies, because they don't have any track record yet, it was very small base and a lot of incentives.
I would much prefer that
because you have rookies,
right? Because they haven't proven anything yet. There's potential for them to do that if you take them in the top one or two.
Yeah.
But they still have to do
it. The gut instinct is get rid of the incentives for these rookies because it's inflating their contracts, their rookie contracts.
But no, I think
what
you're
if
right.
you go the other way?
The problem is only at the top. It's
The
top is the issue here. It's not the whole draft process and signing and all that. It's just the top.
But it's starting to creep down, and last year was the first time it creeped down below four.
And you also use the phrase that Comden came up with
the QB, the Peyton
that
package.
All the, quote, other top agents use.
Right.
Well, that tells me there aren't really other top agents. He's the top agent.
Right.
If he creates thing that everybody else uses, then you should be going to Tom Condon.
Pretty much every quarterback now demands that Peyton package in their contract that gets drafted. So,
but how many of them actually live up to all the things that are in it?
Well, a lot of them are very – I mean, maybe it's not a number – well, a lot of them don't get the Pro Bowl, but they get the 80% of the snaps and, you know, that
they
kind
have
of.
To because the team paid them a lot of money and you can't just ride them on the
bench.
No,
I know.
No, I mean, it's
– I know.
It's a catch-22.
So I got some interesting stuff, and I'm going to try to put it together in a little piece.
I'm looking forward to reading this, even though I may not understand it when I'm done.
Yeah, I'm still not sure I understand it, but I am very interested in it.
It's going to be more than an edit letter, though, right?
Oh, well, yeah, it'll be a
at
piece.
Least a pulse story. Or
yeah,
a piece.
Something like that.
It was my understanding that there would be no math.
Pieces. I'm working on a piece.
508.
You need to get a piece.
543-7482 is the phone number.
You didn't even mention the voice of NFL Films.
Harry Callis.
NFL Films, their sales will go down because of this. The man is an icon. That
you know
voice
what's funny is I don't really even.
Passed away.
I always looked at John Facenda as being the voice, and he was the replacement, and I've never really taken to him. But now, like Andy being 10 years younger than me, that's the voice of NFL Films is Harry Callis.
I'm with you on this one.
And he's also a hell of a ladies' man.
Wow.
Well done.
Facenda was the voice. He was the original voice.
He was.
And you think of that.
But
when
what's
you watch
the chances
the
that they find stuff. Another good one?
Well,
they'll screw it up.
They'll find one.
But like to Paul's point, your generation,
right?
Thinks for
of
me, Callis, he was always the replacement, and now you're going to look at the next guy as the replacement. You know, and because this is the only guy you've really known.
Terrible at baseball, though.
Imagine if you were a Phillies fan, though,
well,
growing up and hearing that.
He speaks in slow motion.
Puts me to sleep.
Maybe we should get Eddie Mack, the Frozen Tundra,
Robinson to the stretch,
and they all love him. But if you,
we
used to get their games
drunk.
For some reason on one of the HD channels. He would be on occasionally, and I'd put it on and. I mean, baseball has its issues as being slow as it is, and you put him there, and you're like, it's nap time.
Also, he was a radio announcer, which
and he
is
was
a,
solo,
which
right?
is different than TV.
I
too.
Believe he did solo TV. I don't think he had a.
He
partner.
May have. I for think Vince, Phil, like Vin Scully does that. Vin Scully's solo.
And I'm telling you, you just wanted to go to sleep. No offense. I mean, obviously he's a
but,
legend.
But I mean, yeah, he's an announcing icon,
right? So he passed away.
But that was sudden, too. And I guess
in
he
the booth.
He collapsed in the
well,
booth
Mark
before
Fingrich
the game.
Died yesterday.
Yeah, that was
an accident.
That was some sort of accident. I don't know if we know
fixing
all the details
his truck
of that.
Or
he was fixing the truck, and he was found underneath it.
Oof. Wow.
But Harry Callis was actually in the booth getting prepared to do another game. He's at 73 years old. He
so you better
he collapsed.
Watch it. You're getting up there.
As he says as he belches.
I know. And you really love this pizza?
Ah, it's not bad. I really like it.
It's good.
I'm going to have another piece if there's one left.
There's
have
three left.
Jim in Texas on the phone. Jim, how you doing?
Hey, my friend. How are you doing this fine day?
Good.
Well, okay. Here's the thing. Your debate on Friday, I have to give it to you, my friend. And it's not anything against Andy, but I'm kind of with you on the state of the Wildcat. It's one of those, I don't know. Remember 15 years ago or 20 years ago when the run and shoot was going to be like the greatest offense ever installed and what was in the league for about 5 years and then all of a sudden kind of went away. You can only say one team really ran that system, and I'd say that'd be the Oilers with Warren Moon and all those receivers. So to me, the Wildcat is something that it's going to be effective. The less they use it, the more effective it will be. But if it's more prevalent, I think it will lose a little bit of its...
And to your point, Jim, even the run and shoot was a whole system. You had to get a quarterback and wide receivers and blockers that in line that could run the run and shoot.
Jim,
whereas the Wildcat is a gimmick. It comes in 4 or 5 times at the most per game.
But that makes it more palatable to me because you're tricking one player. You don't have to change.
I think that's a point on the
other. You don't have
side.
To wipe the slate clean and start over. You're just basically fitting in a style player and a few plays into your offense.
Jim, there were actually three teams that used the run and shoot exclusively for a while. It was the Oilers, like you said, the Falcons. And the Detroit Lions ran it.
Yeah. Well, and the Bills.
The K-Gun was basically
the run and shoot.
Yeah.
Okay, but of those three teams, my friend Eric, only one of them, I believe, made the playoffs, and that was the Oilers.
Buffalo went to the Super Bowl 4 years ago.
Yeah, don't take it. Well, 1 year Detroit went.
Detroit went to the playoffs and lost to Washington. The Falcons, when Deion was there,
they all made the playoffs
at least once.
I mean, they didn't win at all.
But none of them were any good, though. I mean, let's face it. You know, when Jim Kelly was coming out of the USFL, they said nobody can stop this offense. It's the greatest offense in the history of mankind. And
for
what happened?
The better part of 8 years, no one stopped it.
Yeah,
right.
It was like the 46 defense before that. Everybody thought when the Bears ran it, my God, this is the most dominant defense ever. And then
the personnel, Eric. When you got Wilbur Marshall and Otis Wilson outside, Otis Wilson, and they had Richard Dent, Steve McMichael.
Yep.
That was the greatest defense ever assembled. The scheme helped, but they had players in it, too.
Yeah, sure. It was a great defense. Note that. You're absolutely right, Jim.
So,
great personnel.
Well, anyway, going back to the personnel groupings, great. Andy, I also agree with you as far as who we're going to take in the first two rounds.
Who'd you go with there?
Who
did Andy go with? I've been trying to get him to help me.
I told you, I like Larry English.
Oh, okay. But you've been making fun of me and Eric for taking Larry English.
Well, you know,
I hope Larry English is there at 23. I'm kind of, I'm wishy-washy. I think maybe he won't be there if we have to move up to get him. I would be in agreement with your other guy. Don't trade any picks. Take the best available players. Keep all four, your first four picks. If you want to move up, use the picks in rounds four and back to move up slightly. And I mean, maybe take a two and a five and move up like two, three spots. That's it. And that's only if somebody falls there that you really say, we really want to get him, and the guy in front of us might take him.
I agree with you on that.
I could see
that. The Larry English thing, if he's not available at 23, then I think there's going to be a good football player available at 23.
Yeah, like maybe an Everett Brown.
Because I'm not sure. I don't know what his value is, but I certainly don't think it's much higher than 23. And, yeah, and if an Everett Brown is there, I'll take him.
Sure.
Do you see any scenario in which that guy's available? Because I remember, you know, months ago, one of your Florida State alums down there was – talking to me about Everett Brown, and I've looked in him. Guy's a player.
I love him.
There are some mock drafts, Paul and I were talking about this morning. There are some mock drafts that have him slipping as far as 20, so, you know,
I would be willing to go up three spots for Everett Brown. I mean, because to me, that guy is one of the most fearsome defensive players, you know, that I watch a lot of ACC football every year, and I can tell you this, too, the Mel Kiper's draft Bible, I got it yesterday. They have us taking Ron Brace in round 3. And your thoughts on that? Because I think that if we got him late in the third round, that's tremendous value.
Paul has yours.
I gave it to him.
Paul has my thoughts?
No, you're Kiper guy.
Oh, I gave it to
him. I gave it to him.
That's a federal offense, by the way.
Fred Kirsch.
But I think Brace is an interesting guy for them, and I think that would be telling on the Wilfork front. I think Brace could be a developmental nose tackle. I think he's going to be a good player, and I think he would fit. But to me, that would be a message that maybe this Wilfork thing's not going to get done, and
we need to get that nose tackle of the future. I think he'd be good value.
But he's never had a good backup where you could spell him on certain plays. And I'll tell you this about Ron Brace, and I don't know if you guys watch Boston College. I've watched a lot of Boston College living in the South, which is that's a conundrum in itself. No team ran on that defense all year with those two guys in the middle.
They had a great defense.
Tremendous.
Absolutely did. They have a great coaching staff, too, as well, as far as defensive players go. I like Brace a lot. I think he's one of he's kind of like the good soldier, so to speak. I mean, Raji was a more of a flashier player, but both of those guys drew double teams consistently, and both of them stout against the run, very, you know, 6'3", about 320, very, you know, very good run stuff. I don't need somebody in my 34 to rush the passer. Just get on two blockers and just hold and see where you got, and then find the ball, fill the hole. And that's a guy like Brace, he could do that. Now, if you're asking him to get into a 43 and rush the passer, one gap guy, no, he's not that guy.
Right. So, and if you get him in the third round, I mean, now you're talking about him as your, what, sixth draft pick, potentially fifth or sixth draft pick.
Yeah.
So he certainly, you know, in any other draft, he'd be an afterthought draft pick. But because you are loaded in the first three rounds, you know, that's why we've all talked about not only can you get some playmakers, you could set up your team. If you draft well in this first three rounds of this draft, you could be setting a foundation of a youth movement for 2-3 years down the road.
And I think that's what's going to happen. I agree with you, Jim. I think the Pats are going to keep those first four picks. They'll
I hope they do, Eric.
They'll take
I really
do. They'll take the phone calls from all these other teams who are going to want to make trades with them.
Sure.
But unless there's a scenario where, you know, Everett Brown falls to, like, near 20 and they might want to trade up to get him in particular, I think they're going to try to keep all four and, as Andy said, maybe try to build a nice solid base, whether it's on defense or, you know, adding to parts on the offense, you know, for the near future.
I say they move.
Do you say
well,
they move
yeah.
Eric,
up, I got something, Eric, I got something for you, actually, I did yesterday.
What's that?
I went to the local Y, and we boxed like two or three times a week, some of the local guys. I fought a dude. This guy was 6 feet, 220, I kid you not. Very quick. I'm putting a spike at 195, about 5'10". And I went toe-to-toe with him for about 15 minutes. He rung my bell a few times. I rung his a few times. He quit. I couldn't believe it. I was like,
really?
He's 10 years my junior, 25 to 30 pounds my senior. And all the guys that I work with are like, Jim, you're effing nuts. And I'm like, hey, you know what? Sometimes you just got to test yourself. So having said that, there was an opportunity I could have failed and gotten absolutely demolished by him.
Yep.
But when you do risk and you get to the other side of it, you can hold your head high. Like, I'm holding my head high
today. Right, you can't be afraid
to
fail.
That's going to be it when you kick from 40 yards, Eric. I got faith in you, my man.
I appreciate it, man. And you know what? I'm not backing down. It's the all-pro who's yet to step up to the plate. I've been doing my part. I've been out there practicing. I've been out there working out. I'm going to do it whenever he agrees to set it up.
We don't need him either. If he chickens out, we can still send you out there and record the results of what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because Fred has already said he'll beat you.
Love the show. Hey, listen, I'll give you a call on Thursday because I'm going back home on Thursday.
Nice.
All right.
Take it easy.
All right. Jim from Texas chiming in. I thought he was morphing into John McCain when he first started. I was calling everybody my friend.
And then he had like a good moment with Eric.
Yeah.
It was inspirational.
No, it was inspirational.
It's good.
Yeah. You can't be afraid to fail, Eric.
I'm not. Why do you think I come on this
he's
show?
He's not
every
afraid
day?
To fail. Have you seen how many things he's failed at?
Well, that's true.
He keeps trying. Comedy, art, TV,
didn't
writing.
Fail at art. I gave up. Comedy.
Oh, that was
up.
A Freudian slip.
Gave up that.
When do you give up art?
Not giving that up.
A lot of successful people in their line of work give it up.
Right.
What?
What's that now?
All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-547-4482.
Didn't pay at all.
Is the,
it's usually the successful ones get paid.
Can I just leave out a number?
543.
547-4482.
A lot of emails.
Guess
coming in.
The third digit and see what you get.
7-4-8-2.
You get that old lady who was mad and called the other day.
We get a lot of calls at my house. Very annoying.
Why?
Well, what, I think for one
for
of them.
Web radio?
No, I think we're close to the police station. Like we're off by
they
a digit or something.
Yeah. Calling them at home.
People just call. They're so annoying. And we had one that's mildly retarded.
Have you been hearing, speaking of these 911 calls, have you been hearing these ridiculous 911 calls that have been coming out lately? This one lady calls in because the Chinese restaurant didn't put enough shrimp in her order.
Yeah.
The Paul Perillo.
Another lady was at McDonald's.
I heard about that, but I thought
wanted,
see,
like,
I thought that was a hoax.
And they wouldn't give it to her because they didn't have any more, but they wouldn't give her money back.
Right, right.
And she wanted a cop to come and settle the dispute.
Right.
Those are real?
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought for sure that those were hoaxes.
And the best one of them all was the woman whose car wouldn't start. And she locked herself in the car, but she was in the car. She calls, you know, OnStar or whatever, 911, and says, I'm locked in my car and I can't get out because I can't, you know, I can't use the electric thing. And she's like, well, did you just pull on the knob? And the lady was like, wait, yeah, okay, yep, that did it.
I didn't hear that one, but I heard that the restaurant ones, that the food isn't right and they call 911.
We're a nation of idiots. There's just no doubt about it.
Well, you also had the idiot 911 dispatcher in the Pennsylvania thing. Did you hear that thing?
No.
Where the guy killed three or four cops, and the 911 dispatcher knew that he had major assault weapons in his house. I don't know how, but decided that wasn't relevant information to pass on to the police officers were approaching the house. Oh. And he took out three of them.
Wow.
Now, obviously, that person's now out of a job and in trouble, but, I mean, that wasn't relevant information. If I'm a cop walking towards a house, I don't need to know the guy's an AK-47.
I know the story. I didn't know the dispatch part.
He didn't pass on all the information he had at his disposal.
Jeez.
Every time I hear one of those, I always think the person's an idiot, and the dispatchers often make
me
feel not
good. What is it lately with all these gun shootings?
It's the world, the economy,
I mean,
the end.
But even recently, like since, you know, January of 2009,
it's
been
tough
up
times.
Like 40% or something.
I think
like
you
that?
Have a lot of people that are not only feeling down, but feel like there's no light at the end of the tunnel and bad times are ahead.
But on the other end of the spectrum, how great was it this weekend to hear about Captain Phillips getting rescued?
That was good.
I mean, because
although now they've taken three ships today, but that's, you know.
Right. American ships?
No.
They've been taking ships all along. We just started caring when they took an American.
Exactly.
They have
been going
50
on for a while.
Right now, they have over 50.
There's like 250 people still being held hostage.
We showed the American way when we didn't care for the first 49, but the 50th was us.
Now you've taken this too far.
You know, so
I love the.
It's a mess over there.
The pirates are great, though. They're like the Erics. They're like, they're going to pay for it.
What?
They have absolutely nothing to go with, and they're like threatening major countries.
Who am I threatening?
Because
you're
threatening. Think you're more than you are, and. So do the pirates.
Just the utter.
What's that word?
They are
pseudo. What's that word that I taught you the other day? Friday? No, you asked me, what is this?
It wasn't
mean?
Humility.
Lubricants.
Was I
you were reading something and
Chris
you're like,
Gasper
what is it?
I was reading?
Probably Gasper.
Probably because
yeah.
He puts big, stupid words in his stories.
Dilettante. Remember?
Dilettante, yeah.
Dilettante.
Oh, yeah. The Colt special teams coach was talking about his players.
Well, if you read that on Pro Football Talk, he kind of explained what it meant.
Yeah, but I wasn't quite sure. So I went to Eric, and he looked it up and then told me.
Did no such thing. I answered you right away, you buffoon. You're what a maroon.
What a maroon.
All right, webradiopatriots.com. Got to remind people about the CBS party tonight at CBS Scene for the schedule.
There's a geriatric convention out there right now.
Really?
Like right outside the doors of CBS Scene, there's probably 25 old ladies just sitting on the steps.
Probably bust in. It's great. It's great. But our NFL Network will be live at CBS Scene from 7 o'clock. Robert Kraft will appear at 7:30 and be on NFL Network. And
how is this working?
What
the schedule? Like, what are they doing? How are they releasing it?
They're doing the same way they did it last year. On their all-access show, they're going to start releasing the game.
But, I mean, are they going to say, okay, we'll start with the Patriots. Here's their schedule. Or are they doing it?
No, I think they're doing it all at once because teams are allowed to post the entire schedule on their sites at 7.
Okay. Are they going week by week then, probably?
Yeah, they'll probably.
Like week one, here's what.
So in other words, to avoid being confused, I'll just go to a website and look at the schedule.
But I was reading Peter King today, and he was complaining about how, you know, in the old days, you know, they would release the schedule earlier so that, you know, on radio they could talk about it during drive time and talk about what teams got screwed and blah, blah, blah.
So talk about it
the next
day.
And now it's no fun because it's now at 7 o'clock. But I disagree with that because we've known who the opponents are for – since before the season was over.
Yeah, but you don't know the stretches and back-to-back.
You don't know. That's the only thing you don't know.
But that's the part that would be potentially a team getting
you play back-to-back.
If you play the Ravens and Colts in back-to-back weeks and one's a Monday night game, so you get a short week.
Yeah.
The short weeks, the three-game road trips, the four trips to the West Coast as opposed to two trips
to
the West
Coast.
Those
things always even out.
But why can't they talk about it on the next day's radio?
Well, I don't get that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just one of those things that media people are just going to complain because that's what media people do. That's what we do. We complain about stuff.
I bet he had a hooded sweatshirt on when he wrote that.
The Bostonian.
So.
And a coffee in his hand.
All right. Should we get to some emails?
Probably.
Sure.
All right.
Have you been up to the Tavolinos?
No, I haven't.
It's a nice place.
Yeah?
The Tavolinos.
I haven't been there yet.
It's a nice decor, but yeah, prices are a little high.
A little high?
Yeah. I mean, burger starts at $10. And
we need a sandwich shop at Patriot Place. You know, just a normal sandwich shop.
You're right.
Like a what? North End Deli?
Yeah. Like a deli. You know, a deli type place.
That would be awesome.
Why don't you check with them, North End Deli?
Five Guys Burgers is great, but you can't have a burger every day, especially those burgers.
Believe me, I could, but
North End,
you can't.
Fred. Let's call up North End and see if they
I don't like their veal. They have a terrible veal.
They have other great stuff there.
But Fred's right. Their veal's not good.
Okay, but everything else is great.
It's okay, but if you want veal, you can't go there.
So people shouldn't watch the Patriots because Matthew Slater stinks. The other 52 guys are great, but one player ruins it for all of them.
You know, if you're going to be a deli, have a good – if you're going to offer veal on your
Matthew
menu –
Matthew Slater for?
Do it right.
Drafted for one thing, Paul, and he couldn't do it. If Pat White comes in after being drafted and takes the first direct snap and falls down in the backfield, I'll be making fun of him.
Or if it hits him in the shoulder and bounces off his head.
Son of a bitch, this guy can't run the Wildcat.
All right. Doctor, you ready in there?
We're going to take a break?
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy. And the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs. And their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
MLS soccer action returns to Foxborough as the Revs kick off the 2009 season.
Gillette Stadium comes alive!
Be a part of the action all season long as the Revs make another run at the Superliga Championship and an MLS Cup Championship. Season tickets are now on sale for the 2009 season. This 20-game package features 15 regular season and 5 exclusive soccer matches. The Revs kick off 2009 on April 4th when they take on FC Dallas. See a Superliga final rematch with the Houston Dynamo. Conference rival DC United's only trip to Foxborough. Be there when the LA Galaxy take on the Revs, the reigning MLS Cup champion Columbus Crew, and many more. Taylor Twellman.
Oh, what a goal by Taylor Twellman!
Matt Reese.
Off the line, and saved by Reese!
And the rest of the Revs are set to kick off 09. And you won't want to miss a minute of the exciting action at Gillette Stadium. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS to get your 2009 season tickets. Pride, passion, revolution!
Coming this summer to Patriots.com. It's the ultimate showdown between pro bowler and pro sketcher. All pro and all show. A guy who's played in the Super Bowl and one who's worked at the Super Bowl. It's Gostowski versus Scalavino.
I have to make 6 out of 10 field goals from 35 yards.
I think you could do that.
Oh, I know I can do it. I'm going to do it.
Wow!
Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime event as the current Patriots kicker faces off against the former college football kicker, whose last kick was 15 years ago for a university that no longer has a football program.
But if I start making 6, 7, if I'm in that range, I might switch left-footed just to show
him.
You've seen Ali Frazier, Duke, North Carolina, Red Sox, Yankees, but nothing will compare to this. It's Gostkowski Scalavino, coming this summer to Patriots.com.
All right, Tucci is no longer in the booth, but he's still writing in.
Oh God. I thought he was busy at this new job.
Hi, guys.
At least get us lunch.
And Shart's dad. How is Husky Perillo feeling after BU's win in D.C.? Your NAMBLA meeting won't be too much fun this month.
That's too gender.
Tucci says that. BU is the champs.
They are.
You should be proud of your alma mater.
Oh, yeah, I'm beaming with pride.
I don't understand this. You really need to sit down
Why
with
was there a line in it? They have a playoff, right?
Yeah.
But then there was a line in today's paper in the notes that says BU finish ranked first on the poll or whatever. Why are we still taking polls? It's a playoff. It's not college football. There was a set of games that determined who the best team in the country was.
But they do always have a poll.
Have they ever had a team that won the Final Four that didn't finish number one?
I doubt it, but they have a basketball poll after the season's over, too, after the tournament's
over. I've never read about that one, and I don't need to.
Well, they certainly wouldn't say North Carolina finished first in it.
It's a formality at that point, but it is kind of foolish. I know.
You know, for example,
talk about wasting space that could have gone to some other note.
But just as an example, you asked me if it ever happened. I don't think it has. But a couple of years ago, when George Mason went to the Final Four, they would not have been number one had they won it all. There's no way. They wouldn't have finished number one in that poll.
So there would have been a national champion who wasn't the number one team in the country.
Yeah.
That's flawed.
Sure.
That's as flawed as the football side. All right, webradiopatriots.com. Sean McLaughlin writes in with random thoughts.
Nice.
He says, here's some quick bullet points to talk about as the draft and the schedule today approaches. Count me in the minority. I don't want to waste a second-round pick on the Pat White experiment. Heard this story before with Brad Smith. Saw this story with Michael Bishop. Never materialized. It's not happening.
Far
I think
athlete.
It's all a smokescreen.
Absolutely.
Far more productive college player. Far mm-hmm. better athlete.
Yep.
Than different. Either of those two.
I mean, Brad Smith, I think, is... you know, is somewhat comparable. Michael Bishop didn't.
No. Right.
Michael Bishop was a quarterback. He wasn't drafted for a special skill or whatever, and he didn't have anywhere near the skills.
He
running.
Had a strong arm, yeah. Ridiculously strong arm. Could throw the ball far. Couldn't read defenses. Couldn't remember plays.
And a nice cousin, or aunt.
Oh,
who let us into the Super Bowl?
That's
when we
right.
wandered around
and
the stadium.
Reliant Stadium, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, she was a security guard just letting us in somewhere. But Sean also says, I'm going out on a limb. I say the Week 3 Jets at home game that was posted a few weeks back will be the only lock that was on the so-called phony schedule. So we'll see.
Is this the schedule that Chris posted?
Yeah.
Do we keep that just so we can see if he hits any of them?
We should. I hope so. Because I just want all these people who think there was this vast conspiracy that the Patriots leaked the schedule. We'll find out at 7.
It's going to be wrong.
Of course it is.
We know it's going to be wrong, but I'd like to see if he hit any of them.
One of our, our listeners said it was like a 9 billion in one chance that he hits on every one of those.
That would be awesome. That would make his day. He doesn't have a lot going for him.
There's your guy, Fred. Billy Mays.
Yeah. Is this so? This Simonized
it
pen?
It doesn't. Have you seen the?
How can it match the color?
It doesn't. It only fills the clear part. They show you that. And all, if you pay attention to all the graphics and don't get caught up in the yelling, screaming, and hype,
right.
They don't lie about anything.
Right.
It says it fixes the clear coat. They show the side view of the graphic with the paint a little bit chipped. It doesn't fill it. It fills it with clear.
Right.
So it does nothing. You could put clear anything on there, and that's what. So it's filling the superficial scratch, not the paint.
Right.
It's just the clear part. If you've actually gone past the clear part and scratched the color, this does nothing except fill it in with clear.
Right.
And then you got to paint over it.
Right.
But see, that thing right there looks like...
It looks like it's
it
matching
like
the
it's
color.
It looks like it's matching it, though.
But it isn't. It's just because of the angle of the light. It's removing the scratched clear coat. That's it.
All right.
Getting all worked up over it, too.
I love it.
Well, I like that one because they don't really lie. They don't really cover anything up. But because of the way they package it,
right.
Saps like Fred buy on in 1999.
I didn't buy it. I haven't bought it.
No, you were thinking about it, though.
Well, I was... Very impressive commercial. Well done.
They are good at in their craft in terms of just putting together a commercial that makes you want to order it, think you need whatever item it is they're selling.
Number three, where in the world is Adam Schefter, the best scoop man in the biz, is being exiled in NFL purgatory for some reason? I actually heard him on the radio this morning on EEI. So
he was on EEI this morning?
Yeah, Adam Schefter.
I didn't hear him.
He was talking a little bit about the draft. And
what time was that?
I
must have been very early.
7:30.
Yeah.
And he's not really a draft guy. He's
no, and he says he's not, but he still stands by the fact that there's no way Julius Peppers is coming here.
Oh, that's what I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
James Harrison signed.
Yes.
And everybody was saying that might set the bar for what a Peppers as a linebacker would be valued at. And he reportedly got $20 million in guarantees, $51 million total.
Six-year deal.
So... There's a number to put with it. Now it's not just the Haynesworth. If everyone was saying, well, those guys are pass-rushing mm-hmm. defensive ends, and he wants to be a linebacker, so it's a different market. And they're saying that the Harrison contract is the largest ever given to an outside linebacker.
He's the highest-paid Steeler of all time, or second-highest-paid Steeler of all time?
$50 million, probably, right? Yeah, I was going to say.
He says five, so he must have deleted a four. But anyway, NFL Films lost a great voice in Harry Callis. Love John Facenda, but Harry Callis was a true professional, will be sadly missed. And last season,
My last question is, can you comment on how season ticket sales has been in the economy, up or down? I think, you know, they probably had a few percentage points more that did not renew this year. But it's not as bad as you would think here. You know, what the real deal for the Patriots will be in a couple of years when all these premium seats come due.
Premium. You know what's also not as bad as it's being hyped up to be is I read these stories in the Globe about the aftermarket for like Red Sox tickets was down and everything. I went to look on like StubHub. I didn't see any evidence of things being down.
Were you looking for Yankee tickets? Or?
No.
No?
Bleacher seats against like the A's were like $80. You know, good seats were like $200.
It's the same thing. I'm insisting that a big part of the problem here is that everybody is telling you how much things
right.
are going to be impacted.
How bad everything is.
Stay in the house. Batten down. You know what? Shut your blinds. Don't let any light in because the economy is really in the crapper and right. we're all going to hell. I'm telling you, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Half of this stuff is – you really saw a noticeable difference in the Red Sox crowd.
Right.
Thursday afternoon game when it's like 25 degrees out, the sellout streak goes on. You're not going to see it here at Gillette Stadium. The stands are going to be filled, just like at Fenway. You've seen it with the Bruins, you know, who always traditionally have trouble filling the place. The excitement there hasn't been better, hasn't been bigger than this in a long time as the playoffs are set to start on Thursday. It's a bunch of crap. I'm telling you.
I blame the media.
They're trying to – I'm not saying that the economy is crap. I'm saying they're trying to scare you to a point where you're afraid to spend even one dime, and I think that's the exact opposite tack that they should be taking. They need the money in the economy to stimulate it.
On the one hand, they say you need to spend money to stimulate the economy. On the other hand, they yell at us because we don't save well.
Don't have enough savings.
I saw a thing on CNBC, you know, in like 4 years or even 2 years, the Americans will be back to – you know, spending, you know, 87% of their earnings, which isn't good. They're only, you know, but they're telling us to.
Right.
You know, it's like you can't have, I don't know.
Well, I told you guys, I watched a couple months ago, who is it, Charles Gibson? Is he ABC News?
Yeah.
Yes. He started a broadcast with "Life as we know it has come to an end" or is over.
Jeez.
And I'm like, that's not very responsible right there. Unless literally the world, I mean, unless the nuclear bombs have gone off.
But that's my point in a nutshell. It's
are you
not,
kidding me?
I mean, we all know that this is a tough time.
Right.
But it doesn't need to be beat over everyone's head. I mean, people are talking about the Red Sox not going to have people. Then you go on these all these websites. Jeez, it's the same as it always was.
Right. I was looking for a deal, and there were no deals to be had.
The other year I've tried to get tickets, I found them just as hard to get. Patriots tickets the same way. You can't get a Patriots ticket just by wandering off the street. But when the Patriots season comes around, there'll be stories about that too. Oh, they're feeling the tough times in Foxborough.
So I shouldn't give my tickets away yet.
Well, you can give your tickets.
Oh. Matt,
what do you usually?
Mine end up in charity.
Just scalp them.
I mean, mine all end up in charity.
Yeah, that's
now.
What mine are.
I had to call my mechanic.
Matt from Boston says, "Are there any players besides Pat White that you could see clearly playing multiple positions at the NFL level?"
Percy Harvin.
And Andy, how many female emails have you called a lesbo?
Just one.
Just one.
How about Stephen McGee?
Well, just one that wasn't a lesbo. There was the other girl who was a lesbo.
Playing more positions?
How about Stephen McGee?
As the quarterback of
Texas A&M?
Oh, yeah.
As what, though? What were the other positions?
Something else.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think
running
he's
going
to be. I don't think he's going to be a true quarterback.
He's not as good an athlete as White, I don't think.
No.
But
he's a very good athlete.
Yes. But a lot of times those very good athletes tend to get petered out. Like pre-draft, we hype him up, could do this, could, and then it rarely works on more than a 1 or 2 year experimental level. I mean, what happened to, he's still in San Francisco, but what has Penn State kid done? Robinson?
Michael
Robinson?
Oh, yeah.
Has he done it? He was one of those guys that was, what can he do? He can do this, he can do that. I mean, it rarely works out as you kind of plan it.
McGee's scheduled to be like a mid-round pick, like a third or fourth-round pick. So it's not like he's without talent. I mean, I'm not sure that quarterback is his spot.
He made a visit here, reportedly.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
But I think Harvin is, I mean, a receiver, a running back, some wildcat work. You know, those are all kind of the same.
He's not that fast.
But
McGee is like a 4-5 guy, not a 4-3 guy like some of those other, like, you know, Pat White and Harvin and those
and
guys.
My boyfriend from the combine, James Casey, but he's a slower guy. He's a tight end. He's going to be some form of H-back slash tight end. He's a wildcat guy who runs it a lot like Tebow, which is, you know, with size as a tight end.
But that's another guy to answer your question, though, the emailer's question. Guys playing other positions.
I mean,
James Casey.
He played everything at right. Some offense, some defense, some quarterback, some running back, some receiver.
Minor
the only thing
baseball.
He didn't do was block.
I like that guy.
You like Casey.
The guy from
Rice.
The only thing about him is
I saw highlights.
He's no, he didn't. Where?
He's a little older, and that's the only thing that.
Yeah, that's why he came out after 2 years.
You've started watching your film, have you?
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Just the tip.
Chris writes in, hey, guys, I'm the new guy. By the way, why is the new guy called Doctor? Well, Doctor isn't the new guy. Toyota Tacoma is the new guy. Doctor is called Doctor because his last name's Dvorkin. So remember Dr. Death. So we call Jason
and no
Dvorkin
one kills a show like
the Doctor. Right. But Chris Chris was speculating that maybe it's because he touches Eric inappropriately and tells him that it's just part of the routine physical.
That's uncalled for.
You know, we have a lot of respect for Jason.
On to my football question.
He's really getting a lot of work out of that.
Oh, yeah.
How much does Bill Belichick look forward to future draft classes when he's making offseason plans? For instance, let's say Belichick wants to draft a safety to start ahead of James Sanders. Stop yelling, Andy. It's only hypothetical. So Belichick looks at this draft class and decides that there isn't a safety worthy of taking on the first day. Now, hypothetically, Bill likes Taylor Mays, Eric Berry, Myron Roll, and a number of other safeties will be in the draft next year. So does Bill target a safety this year and try to develop him, or does he sign Rodney Harrison or some other stopgap and try to get a young safety in 2010 that he's higher on? Inversely, let's say Belichick really likes this year's outside linebacker class and looks at next year's seniors and doesn't see anyone he thinks could start in the 3-4. Does that make Bill more inclined to move around to make sure he gets someone this year? I know it's a lot of speculation and guesswork, but I was just wondering if Bill looks ahead like that. I kind of doubt that he does look ahead because there is just too much uncertainty. You just don't know if someone will blow out a knee or drop off dramatically as a senior. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think more of the latter than the former.
Right.
I think if he knows a position is good this year and kind of looks to the next year, he might say, okay, we got to get him this year because it's not going to be good next year. But there's just so many variables. Guys get hurt.
Right.
Underclass, you know, you're looking at next year's seniors because you haven't even really started working on next year's juniors. And
the only
every year, juniors come out.
The only area where I think he might look a little bit forward to next year is when he gets trade offers and they say, we'll give you a one next year or two twos next year. He'll stockpile the draft picks, but I don't think he looks at specific players or classes and says, oh, that's going to be a good class.
Right.
It's just too much there. There's too much to worry about in this class, in that actual year to worry about.
Right. I mean, he doesn't know how this draft is going to unfold. And in terms of what you're talking about, I think he also looks at, like, San Francisco. We think they're not going to be good, so that pick we get from them could be a potential top 15 10 pick. I think he does some of that, but I think that's a dangerous game to play if you start projecting the next year's draft before this year's draft is over.
I think it's pretty much on a broad basis.
Right.
I don't think they can get that specific. Like you mentioned the safeties with Taylor Mays and Myron Roll. I don't think you can look at it that closely and say, they have a couple. Those are a couple of guys that we really targeted, so we're not going to take a safety.
Roll's
just
a junior?
In general.
Right.
Well, he's done with football, but he didn't declare himself for the draft.
Because he's doing the Rhodes thing.
Right.
Okay, that's what I thought. I just want to make sure.
Big Al from Georgia is on the phone. Hey, Big Al.
Hey, good afternoon there, boys.
Have you looked into replacing Harry Callis, Al? Because I think you'd be a good
candidate.
Yeah, send
in your tapes.
Seriously.
Get a reel together.
I did it in the Air Force for 20 years. I was a broadcaster. I've never done commercial radio.
Well, you should look into it.
You should start now and get some money.
I got in from 79 to 99, and then I got out. And partied like it was 1999. And by the time I woke up, it was 9/11.
It was 2009.
Oh.
Yeah, well, and like a lot of people, you want to get back and do something. So I got in the guard. And that's why I think I called you guys one time from the Middle East when I was over there. So I'm still in the guard. People have talked to me about that, but I like living in Valdosta so much that I just decided I would rather live in Valdosta and do something else than go to a bigger city and be in radio.
Okay.
So that's just kind of how I appreciate the kind words. I mean, there's nothing I do to enhance this. This is just how it comes out.
You don't
for better
smoke
or for worse.
No smoking.
You know, it is what it is. What's that?
No smoking. A lot of those guys that have great voices smoke like five packs.
You know, that's a good point. I've never touched a cigarette in my life.
Good for you.
You know, a couple cigars when the Patriots win Super Bowls, but that's about it.
What are you rolling your eyes for, Fred?
Oh, you're so condescending.
He really is.
How is that condescending? I was paying him a compliment.
Good for you.
You're very judgmental.
Yes.
Well, thanks.
You don't know from
the kind words I can get, really, from any source. So I wasn't bothered at all.
So what are you calling for today?
This is my favorite time. I say this every year, but it's my favorite time of year. Every year is the run up to the draft because you have all these false leads, all this disinformation. Some of it, maybe 2% is accurate. Maybe who knows? Maybe. You know, you never, maybe 50-60% is accurate. Who really knows? But the way that they're trying to sort of shadow box each other and fake each other out into who they're going to pick and not pick, it just cracks me up. I mean, so many guys, all of a sudden, if you notice, their stock is dropping. It's incredible.
Yep.
You know, and how much of that is really to be believed? We'll find out on draft day.
Or mysteriously rising.
It's just fun to try to track the comings and goings.
Yeah, it is. And we were talking about it with Everett Brown earlier. He's a guy that I think is a phenomenal pass rusher, and now you see some mock drafts where he's available in the 20s, and I will be stunned if he's on the board when the Patriots pick.
Well, supposedly Percy Harvin from down here in Florida, his stock has supposedly dropped.
Yep. Yeah, now people are saying he could be like a late second-round pick when before he was a 20s pick.
Perfect for the Pats.
I think I initially heard of him being a top 15, top 10, and now he's – and he supposedly scored a very low Wonderlic score, which hasn't helped him. But, you know, it's funny, that works the other way. Back in the day, if you remember the guy that was on the Pats back in the day named Brian Holloway.
Yep.
He was a number one pick and from Stanford, a very bright guy. And he scored extremely high on the Wonderlic, as you might imagine. And some of the pre-draft scuttlebutt back then was that, Brian Holloway has scored too well on the Wonderlic, and he will become bored with football.
Or a player rep. Either one is bad.
Right, too smart. You don't want him in your locker room. Too smart.
He won't be around, so you shouldn't take Brian Holloway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just, wherever there's, you approach it from one angle, and somebody approaches from the other angle, and it can be a smart move or a dumb move, either way you look at it.
Yeah.
So it just depends on who they really pick and who really works out. But I like the fact that we do have the second round picks. It seems like, and we've missed on some, but it seems like in the second round you do feel like there's less pressure there for some reason, and you, for real value, for not spending a whole lot, you can get a really good guy.
Yeah, you can certainly get a starter in the second round. As you said, they've kind of missed on a few there, but they've also hit on a few. I mean, Eugene Wilson early in his career and Deion Branch are two very good second round picks.
Absolutely. Deion Branch is prime example there. And I think they might just hang on to all. I don't see the Pats packaging anything or, you know, doing a lot of movement. I think they've got all these picks, and they'll probably use most of them. Now, they may, ironically, what do you think about the chances of them trading? I guess they got a bunch of second-day picks. What about possibly?
Seven of them, right now.
Packaging two or three of them together to either get a guy or get a higher pick.
I think that's, but I don't think they'll select 11 players in the draft. I think they'll move around a little bit, maybe eat up some of them, or just trade out and get a pick next year for some of them. But yeah, I'd be kind of surprised if they ended up with 11 players.
If they end up with 11 players, does that say anything about how they feel about the current roster?
No, it just means that what was on the table in terms of trades and things wasn't.
I agree with Andy. I think there's a chance, probably a better chance, that they could take 11 players than Andy thinks, but they don't need 11 players, and they're not going to have 11 players make the team, obviously. I mean, that's just not going to happen. That's a bad sign if that
So why
happen.
Not trade a 7 this year for a 6 next year? Somebody wants
some
guy.
Well, that's kind of the point, right?
Right, and then
that's
maybe next
good point.
Year.
That's a point. How many picks do we have next year? Do you guys know?
Just the normal. I believe, right?
Normal. Yeah, we haven't traded anything away.
I don't know
away.
Any already. Do you?
I believe it's just the 1-7.
Now, I think that's something to look for with the three number twos is what
right.
they've done in the past is they've been able to trade.
To get a one.
You know, trade picks to get, you know, get picks in the future. You might be able to see something.
They didn't get
like
any
that.
When they, either in the Bodden trade or, not Bodden, Bodden, but the other.
Greg Lewis. They gave up the 5th round pick. For Greg Lewis.
Okay,
no?
But they had to give something away, too, though. They
got a player, but not
Okay, I thought there was a round swap, too.
I don't believe anything for next year.
In either Bodden or Greg Lewis.
But
I'm not sure.
Well, Bodden was a free agent.
Okay, then that's not the one.
Greg Lewis, they traded for a conditional draft pick, wasn't it? So they may lose a pick,
right.
But they're not going to get one.
Okay.
Right. Yes.
All right.
Well, it should be a fun time, and I'm certainly looking forward to it. And by the way, if you If you are looking at a franchise that maybe could use some season ticket holders, the nearby Jacksonville Jaguars, I think, are in. I've surfed their website, and I don't know that I get season tickets, but I like to get individual games there when there's not a conflict with the Pats.
And
it's a pretty easy ticket. Sure. I don't know how New England will. I'm sure New England won't lose. Won't have empty seats this year, but I think some of the other franchises, you know,
I just think it's the franchises that have always had trouble filling the seats. I think Jacksonville's a great example. I think Atlanta has been a great example. Now Atlanta might be okay now because there's a lot of excitement with Ryan and they have a good young team. You know, same with Arizona. They usually have trouble. Maybe they won't right now because they're coming off a Super Bowl. But those types of teams, I think, will always have trouble. But I don't think that you're going to see it.
I heard something about the Giants recently.
Because of the new stadium.
Yeah, that's all. See, to me, that's
the new stadium is hijacking people.
Dallas, the Giants, the Jets. That's a new argument because you're asking people to commit to PSL.
I think they'd be having trouble in the best of times.
Jacksonville surprises me though because it's so close to Georgia, and you know Georgia loves its college football. Florida obviously loves its college football.
But that's the thing; they do love their college, and they have an alternative.
For the same reason, Boston College is playing in front of 40,000.
They love their pro sports.
They love their pro sports here, and down there they love their college sports.
That's true.
Yep.
It's absolutely true. And one last point, another to your Dr. Death file. You certainly should never forget Alonzo Skip Thomas of the Oakland Raiders back in the day.
I don't know.
Who's that?
Skip Thomas.
Voice?
I don't know that.
No, he was a defensive back on the Raiders.
Alonzo
and his nickname
Thomas?
Was Dr. Death.
I don't remember
him. Really? Interesting.
All right, Big Al with a little 411.
Do a Google and you'll
check. I'll check the Google.
We'll look into that.
It'll pop up for you.
All right, Big Al.
Thanks, Al.
From Georgia. And by the way, if the Patriots take Percy Harvin at the end of the first day, I'll be okay with that.
Percy Harvin, but not Pat White. You're unbelievable.
Percy Harvin's a wide receiver.
Yes, I understand that.
Okay.
See, but the funny part about that is
they got Percy Harvin. I don't want to hear it.
He really was a running back.
He's a running back.
He's making a position change.
But he has changed.
Number one. Number two, it's nice of you to take a first-round guy and say you'll accept him in the second round.
So
I don't understand about your argument.
That puts you way out on the limb.
You, by the way, were on the same page as Chris Ferreira. Let's just let the audience know that right off the bat so that they can make a comparison.
Whose argument to me...
was the most ridiculous argument he ever made.
Let me just give you this quick one. Allow me 30 seconds
here. This is unbelievable.
He wanted Kevin Faulk to stay in the Wildcat role rather than Pat White because, quote, the guy in the Wildcat might need to throw the ball.
So not the quarterback.
So he doesn't know that Pat White threw the ball in college.
And evidently he thinks Kevin Faulk does.
Yeah. Well, Kevin Faulk did play a little quarterback, but I think he was a Pop Warner. Yeah,
but... Pat White has a legitimate track record.
I understand.
And if the two raced, it would be no contest. Pat White is 10 times faster.
Yeah, Pat White is a better runner than Harvin or Faulk is a thrower. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Both of those guys have a specialty. You know, White was predominantly a quarterback.
Right.
Harvin ran the ball mostly.
If there's a God, they take him with like 47 or
whatever. Well, certainly spice up our shows.
The part that's hardest to do out of that formation is throw the ball because you're typically running backs or wide receivers at that position. Now you've got a quarterback who's proven he can throw the ball, who's an excellent runner.
Right.
It makes perfect sense, Fred.
I take him in the third round, absolutely.
Not the end of the second.
In a heartbeat.
But not the end of the second.
God forbid he be the fourth player you take. Has to be the fifth.
Reed from the Cape writes in, hey, guys, in the dock. Doctor, you are now the low man on the totem pole. Last week I was watching the show Fringe, and there was a short, pale, bald child naked in some guy's basement, and I thought to myself, oh, this is what Eric's childhood was like. Eric, I kid. Ever since He Who Shall Not Be Named left, you have become a lot funnier. Now let's play the over-under game.
All right.
Yeah,
ready?
I like this game.
My nonsense. I love it.
Yeah.
1.5 receivers drafted by the Patriots.
Under.
Well, over, because...
I'll take the over.
Yeah, I'll take the over.
Okay.
I'll go with two.
And if they take Pat White, I'm classifying him as a receiver for my purposes.
That's why I had to change my pick.
13.5 TDs for Randy Moss in 09.
Under.
Over. Paul says over.
I'm going with over.
Okay. 2 weeks before Andy wants the doctor fired.
Under.
Under.
He wants him fired.
We already got his replacement, though.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Toyota Tacoma.
Tommy Tacoma.
You've wanted me fired for the past 5 years.
That's why I said under.
That's why we
That's why
said
I
under.
I took the under.
1 hour of player tape Fred has watched.
Oh, under.
Under.
1.5 field goals Eric will make.
Under.
Over.
Over.
I got the under.
He's got a. If he can't kick over. Two field goals after saying, well, I'll go lefty and from
based
50.
Based on his practice round.
No, I'm making some adjustments, Paul, and they're starting to make sure
Brad kick, Seeley got out there with him and worked on it, moving it in 10 yards and calling it 35 yards.
And he's making sure it's only a windy day.
It's
that
the BU measurement system. And finally, 10 Mendenhall is ridiculous drop-ins by the doctor during the draft show.
Over. Mendenhall over. Is ridiculous.
No, you'll have to change it, though. It's going to be James Davis this
no,
year.
No, Mendenhall is going to be ridiculous for the Steelers this year.
James Davis is ridiculous in this
and
draft.
And he's going to be ridiculous. That is accurate.
You don't think James
congrats,
Davis.
Andy, on the little shart, and ha-ha, Paul, BU won.
Well read, by
that
Fred
was well read. Well read.
No, I do not think James Davis will be as good as Rashard Mendenhall in the National Football League, but I think he'll have a nice little career for himself.
Theo in Jersey writes in, hey, guys, and Eric, I was doing some
web – it's been a while since we had one of those.
Yeah, I was doing some web surfing and found out that Matt Cassel is one of the 9 finalists to be on the cover of Madden 2010. It's on their website along with a commentary by Chris Collinsworth and Tom Hammond of why he should be on the cover. I find it funny because he is going up against players like Ed Reed and Big Ben. Anyway, thought that would be a fun fact to share. Also, the analysts on NFL.com are saying that Percy Harvin is going to slip to the second round. What do you think would be better to run the Wildcat New England, Pat White or Percy Harvin? Well, have a good show. And, Eric, are you practicing? Yes, he is. So between Pat White and Percy Harvin, who would you take?
For
White.
But for that specific reason?
Oh, just take. Who would you take?
Well, Harvin.
You would take Harvin.
Because he's a more proven commodity elsewhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
But for if you ask me if I want to run the Wildcat, I would take Pat White.
Yeah, but yeah. Pat White for that specific
okay,
reason.
Okay, so
but
you think
player,
just Harvin. At the Wildcat, Pat White would be because he can throw.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Whereas Percy Harvin could be either your slot receiver or maybe
running third down
your
running
Kevin
back.
Falk moving
if,
forward that role of the pass
catcher. If Harvin pans out, he could be one of your right. one of your lead receivers
playmaker.
For 10 years. I mean, conventional playmaker.
Pat White is I think Pat White is probably a good enough athlete that he's going to do something else. But that's a projection. Percy Harvin is a offensive football player who's done those things.
Josh from Arlington, Virginia writes in, and he
he's
says
written in before,
he
so
went
yeah,
back and listened to
back.
The August 30th, 2000 show.
I don't
oh
like
boy.
It. When
after
I don't like nothing good could come out of that.
After yeah. James Cuff mentioned it on Twitter, and holy crap, was Maury annoying? My God, he never
is.
Shut up. How did you guys deal with him? You could tell all he was thinking about the entire time was himself and what he would say next. What a DB. So.
I have to say that's a spot on analysis.
Poor Brian. Poor Brian.
Well
wow.
said.
And he just keeps, I have to say that's a spot on analysis.
Well said. I mean, when a guy writes a good email,
no,
you got to say it.
James has gone back and taken all the archives and put
them
up.
Why are we making those available?
I don't know.
What are we doing?
He even went back to the old Patriots Cafe shows.
Oh, boy.
What's that?
With Don Lowry.
Don Lowry.
We used to put Don Lowry. Back then,
the
we were
guy.
Allowed to walk through where the players were eating because
uh-huh.
they would eat right upstairs in the old stadium. You could walk right through there. And so we set up the radio show right in the middle of their lunchtime, and Don would bring guys over from the lunch tables and just talk with them, which is great. We can't do that anymore, though.
No.
No. He also didn't win back then. This I'm not true. Making a direct tie between the two. I'm just saying for the facts.
TG has a couple good emails. One here. Fred, I was up over for the Easter weekend. I had forgot my copy of PFW and wanted to get another one from a newsstand to go over all the draft info. I went to 3 different local quickie marts, a couple of news lottery places, a pharmacy. I checked the Sports Authority, a Barnes & Nobles, a liquor store, nothing.
That's good news. They were all sold out.
Finally found a PFW in Tedeschi's. What gives, Fred? Nobody knows about the paper because you don't circulate it. I'm not trying to bust your chops. It just seems that people outside of New England area know more about PFW than those who actually live in New England. It's like Camboard. It's made in France, but you can't find it there. It's only for export or something. So, well, I mean, I don't know if those other places you looked had USA Today, but if they did, they should have PFW because we're distributed by USA Today. So... Well, they could be sold out.
In my neighborhood.
Our draft issue, and this is the God's honest truth, our pre-draft issue
biggest
annually
seller.
Is our biggest seller.
Should be. It's packed with good info.
Although, circulation-wise, you're doing a good job if there's always just one left. That's what you want. You want one left on every newsstand. Then you know you're just about hitting it right. If they sell out too fast, you're not putting enough out there.
If you have a lot left over.
So you want one left on every rack.
Cumberland Farms sells it.
Oh, I know.
Stop and Shop sells it. Stop and Shop sells it. I've seen it there all the time under other stuff.
Yep. Shaw's. Shaw's official partner.
Shaw's. That's right. That's right.
I don't like Shaw's.
You don't like Shaw's?
You go to Shaw's.
I do.
Well, there's one close, but, you know, I don't really go to grocery markets.
That's the closest one for me is Shaw's. That's where
I don't go in them.
You don't go in them?
I
you have a personal shopper?
Yeah, I don't like grocery stores.
Yeah, her name's Nikki.
Yeah, I don't like grocery stores.
Why?
Why?
I just have a hard time in them.
You have a phobia?
Or? I just don't like them. My knees start to get weak.
You have a phobia?
Yeah, kind of.
That's not the store's fault.
No.
Carrying a little too much.
Badass.
Well, I don't mind going into other stores like Bass Pro.
Bass Pro.
Bass Pro, yeah. Well, you work there. You're a greeter.
Right.
So do you do like Peapod? Do you order your groceries online?
We've done that in the past. But
Nikki goes, right?
She doesn't like it either, by the way. It's not like she enjoys it. I don't know. Who likes going to the grocery store?
I don't mind. Because
I like it.
Ass.
I have
I
no
like
problem
going.
With it. Not that I wouldn't say
you
I like it.
It's a deal with humanity. Well, you like it because it's a place where you can meet women.
And you can be more pompous.
You go to the produce section. And you.
How can you possibly be more pompous
at a supermarket?
You hold
up your cucumber suggestively.
I noticed that you're getting the grapes.
For comparison.
You went with the green ones. That's a wise choice on your part.
Yeah, it's a good pickup.
Paul always confuses compliments with condescension.
Have you ever picked up anyone?
Fred said the same thing, so don't put this on me.
I tried.
You failed.
A long time ago.
Add that to the list.
What?
Things he's tried and failed. Picking up someone at a supermarket.
Hey, you got to keep swinging, Andy.
Yeah. Sooner or later, they tell you to stop playing.
Yeah. So tell us about this escapade.
Oh, let's move on.
No, come on. Tell us. Eric, you can't just say these. This is radio. People want to know the information. Now, what happened?
I was a girl that worked at the supermarket.
At the cashier?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
At the cashier.
So, you know, you see her regularly.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Once a week or so.
Yeah. So
you
came
start, in. Talking up some conversation.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, what were you buying at the time? Because that makes a difference. If you're buying, like,
everything.
You know, Men's Depends, that might hurt your...
He said he goes every week, so everything
yeah.
that
everything
you would buy
you
at some
every
point,
week.
She saw.
Okay.
You know, usual stuff. Fruits.
Yeah. Magnum condoms.
Oils.
Yeah, need more.
Beep.
And?
No, just started talking more and more every week, and then at one point I gave her my card. And never
your
her
credit card.
Card?
What card?
You had a card back then?
Yeah, back when I was in television.
Okay. Yeah. This is when you were at Channel 12.
Correct.
Right. And that's and you were in Rhode Island, so she would have known Channel 12.
Absolutely.
And she never called you back.
No.
Why didn't you follow up? See, don't you think, again, your pomposity is what screwed you up. I'll give you my card. You call me. You get their number if you really like her, and you call her.
Right. But
she's not going to chase you around.
Chasing? What's?
Well, yeah, you really assume that I'm just going to give you my card and you're going to come after me.
Call me.
You know, you got to make an effort here.
Made an effort for weeks before that, Fred.
Just talking to her, but now you just hand her your card. Why don't you ask her for her number?
Well, because you're in a line and it seems awkward. There are people behind you, so I just
you don't
time
think people
get off of work.
But you don't think people notice that you handed her your card? I mean,
no, because some,
if you got
you know,
past that uncomfortable,
I like he hands a card, it gets stuck on the thing and the belt, and it goes down into the slot. And he's like,
that's an episode of Seinfeld,
right? Right.
How they never did something like that.
Right.
What year was this?
Oh, this is
2005.
No, I wasn't working in television at that point. Just I don't know, 7-8 years ago, probably. It's a long time ago.
Well, you never know. She
is
might
she
call.
Still there?
Now, was she
no.
too young for you? Because a lot of those are like high school, early college girls.
No, she
that's
was a college
sweet spot.
Kid. She was a college kid at the time.
What school did she go to?
I wouldn't give up hope yet, Eric. She could call any day.
Yeah, but she'll be calling Channel 12 and he's not there anymore.
That's the problem.
A lesson to be learned is, you know, you can't expect them to come after you, you know.
Dating tips by Fred Kirsch.
Right, yeah.
If you really like her, you know.
How does he know if he really liked her? All she did was go beep.
Exactly.
Well, he talked to her over a course of many weeks.
A few weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
What? So. I mean, what kind of conversations did you have
you
in the time that it
when
took
you forgot
to ring
your discount card, would she ring you in on her
don't
number?
Don't worry, I'll put you under my
desk. Yeah. They do that for everybody anyway.
Yeah, they have one right under the counter. They beep it
they
in.
They just do that for everybody.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear things didn't work out.
He's acting like it was this long-term thing.
While we're on asides here, and it's referencing video games... have you seen the Dustin Pedroia commercial, anyone, for his new video game?
No.
Yeah.
That's a good commercial.
Yeah.
It's a funny commercial.
I love the guy.
When he goes, besides
other than you?
Have you seen it, Fred?
No.
it's basically Dustin Pedroia apparently is it MLB The Show or something is the game?
One of those video games.
They have him, his low spot or whatever, and his rankings is a high and inside
high
fastball.
High inside fastball.
And then he goes, excuse me, and he Pedroia's polishing his MVP. Excuse me, I'm just polishing my MVP. And how many MVPs do you know that have a hole in their swing that can't hit that pitch? And the CEO of the game says, besides you? It's funny.
All right.
Now, will he have a bad year? Because is there a curse for the baseball ones?
I don't know, but he's off to a bad start.
Oh, isn't that
the Red Sox? The Red 2-5? Red Sox? Pitching not coming through?
I liked the quote from Papelbon when he had seven straight pitches the other night when he gave up a couple runs and he ended up getting out of it. But somebody fouled off like seven straight pitches off him, and he says, I was just laughing at that point. Oh, good to know.
How he can
you've loaded the bases or whatever, and you know there's a game on the line, and you're just chuckling it up out there.
Is Ortiz done?
Yeah.
Yeah? And he says yes?
Done is being special. He's no longer special.
Right.
Manny wants out of L.A. already.
He wants to go to Cleveland.
Really?
Yeah. That was a typical Manny thing.
He said he'd like to end
his career in Cleveland, and that has now been extrapolated that he wants out of L.A. already because he's Manny.
Paul's Binky.
I know. Paul will go down swinging for Manny Ramirez. Mm-hmm. That's okay. That's all right.
You could do well Manny and have Drew. A little loyalty in your life.
Manny and Drew. Oh, wow. Wow.
Across the bow.
Wow. Paul calling me disloyal. Wow.
It is what it is.
Wow.
He's loyal to some things and people.
Fred, are you going to a
Only
tea party
they
tomorrow?
Have Patriot shirts on.
What's that?
You going to a tea party tomorrow?
No. Although I heard a lot of Republicans were calling it teabagging.
I was going to say, Eric's going to
the teabagging party. They really need to familiarize themselves with Urban Dictionary.
Yes.
Because, you know,
were there really people saying that?
Yes.
Oh, I have to see that. Is that on YouTube or something?
It was on
the news. They were saying it on the news?
Yeah, some older Republicans.
Oh, that is classic.
Who don't understand the connotations.
Oh, no. I got to see that. That's great.
Ford writes in, hey, guys, and Eric, last few shows with you guys have been stellar and just hilarious. I just want to say, close your ears, Eric. Thank you for your services.
Yeah, you missed your opportunity. Fred was trying to get you to thank Al.
Al was saying how he joined back up to the National Guard, and you didn't give him the thank you for your service. So some guys deserve it, and he doesn't?
No, I didn't want you to mock him for being in the military.
No, he's mocking you. You weren't listening.
When were we mocking him?
Yeah, we never mock our listeners.
No, Fred always mocks the military whenever I say
I don't mock the military.
You do it every single time,
Fred. I mock you.
You mock the military?
Every single time, Paul.
Of course I don't. You know I do.
Every single time.
I find that awfully hard to believe
of course
Fred mocks the military.
That's absolutely true.
He does. He goes, thank you for your service.
You got that from Jay Severin, and you know you did. Don't tell me you didn't. On to the drafts, says Ford. I just wanted to hear your opinion on a receiver that the Patriots have interviewed out of Georgia, Muhammad Massaquai. I think he is the best potential in this year draft and to be a premier receiver in this league, more so even than Crabtree.
Wow. Let's not get mentally irregular.
One other question I had was, have you guys ever met this joker, Paul Fitzy Fitzgerald? This guy would be a great guest for the show. You guys would bring the house down.
He's your guy.
Yeah, Fitzy. He's actually a stand-up comedian.
One of the most unfunny people that I've ever seen.
I think he had some funny bits. I don't think he was unfunny completely.
I don't think he wants
to. This is the guy that yells and screams all the time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He did the Britney Spears thing.
Yeah.
Not funny.
Leave Bill Belichick alone.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
Of course you did.
2G, give me payments for lunch, for Christ's sake. I want to buy it. You never email me back.
Doctor, get on that.
I emailed him this morning.
Put him in Kiwi.
So does Toyota Tacoma understand the lunch?
We've gone over it.
I expressed the importance.
He looks like he likes to eat. So, and he knows, you know, he can tag along on the lunch parade.
There's one slice left of pizza.
Yeah. Doctor, you on a diet in there?
Doctor's in good shape.
Doctor.
He needs to be because he's going to be running around once the season starts.
Why?
Because he's in charge of that in-game entertainment.
There's entertainment in-game?
Well,
will there be this year?
There might be now. Sorry, Gary.
Let's see. Matt says on NFL Network.
I thought we just played that log that, you know, once it gets cold, you play some flames, and they call that entertainment.
Wow. Andy just, no one. I thought maybe with the baby, things have changed. He bought us pizza, but apparently not.
It lasted in about an hour.
Yeah.
Leopard can't change its stripes.
With the fireplace impressions. It's actually, Gary gets it.
There it is.
Look at that.
Famous DVD.
Yep. That's awesome.
What did you say?
Leopard can't change his stripes.
A leopard can't
did I tell you I got 5 yards of mulch?
You did?
Yeah.
from out front here?
It's a lot of freaking mulch.
You take
yes,
it, from
it
the
is.
Front?
No, I didn't.
Because Andy wanted to.
You're
going to
be like me, and it's going to be the end of the season, and you're still going to be trying to spread it because there'll be a huge pile you haven't used
yet. It takes a lot of mulch to do even just a little area.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a long process.
It's overwhelming when that truck backs in and goes beep, beep, and dumps it. And you're like, holy crap, what did I order?
I got one wheelbarrow.
I don't buy the mulch by the yard like that. I just get the bags.
Oh, but I can't.
But you must have too much.
I have too much.
Plus, then you're paid through the nose.
The beds end up
being more expensive to do it the way I do it, but it's just so much easier.
What's that?
Yeah, your beds end up being rounded because you have to pile so much of it on, you know?
Now I'm looking at it, though. I don't even know if I have enough.
Yeah. You don't want to do that, though, because they charge you a delivery fee, or at least the place I got it from. It was like the mulch itself was only like $25 a yard or something, but then they charged me like $60 or $75 for the delivery.
Wow.
So if you screw up and have to order again, now you really pork yourself.
NFL Network this morning says, Matt, they were saying Mike Singletary wasn't interested in Matt Stafford because he wouldn't talk about his parents' divorce in interviews. If this is true, why would this subject be so important to his draft status? And P.S. Sorry, Andy, Ma Rafa's pizza rules. Congrats to you and Deirdre.
It's Deirdre.
What?
It's Deirdre.
She pronounces it Deirdre because there's no R before the D.
She pronounces it the way it's supposed to be pronounced.
I think if you ask
it's supposed to be pronounced Deirdre.
If you ask a guy about
there's an R in it when you pronounce it Deirdre.
That's what I'm saying. Hers doesn't have the R in it. And before
right,
the
so
D.
It's not supposed to be pronounced Deirdre.
If you ask a guy about his parents' divorce and he says, I'd rather not talk about it, I think that should be enough.
I agree.
I don't understand why that would.
That's in no way relevant.
Mike Singletary's a little.
It's not a decision he made. It's not a mistake he made. It's not a red flag. It's Mike. I don't think Mike Singletary's going to last.
I don't either. I don't think he has the temperament.
I think
Telly Bantakane told me all I needed to know. One's a player and one's a great coach. Well, no. Mike Singletary was a player. Now he's a coach. And if you still think he's just a player, then he's a terrible coach.
Sam in Chicago writes in, thanks as always for your show. Good stuff. Question about the Vegas odds. I don't like that the Patriots' current rankings are the favorite to win our division and Super Bowl. I like the flying under the radar and really enjoyed last season as the pressure of perfection was off due to unfortunate circumstances during the first game of 08.
So was January.
Because of the teams the Pats are scheduled to face this season, if we are anywhere close to the 07 record, I hope the naysayers will give some props to the consistency and brilliance of Belichick and the organization, that it's really about the group, not a Bears-Cutler-like situation or solution. Looking forward to the 09 season more than ever.
Who hasn't given Bill Belichick his credit?
That's one of the dumbest things I've
ever heard.
Some
people have.
Who?
Some writers.
I would argue that they're a minuscule percentage of that,
right,
that people haven't given Belichick his due.
Yes. Who's next in line after Ron Borges?
And then I would argue, what is to say that the Cutler thing is wrong when without Brady, you were just another team? With Brady, you're threatening to go undefeated. I mean, what's wrong about that?
Because even without
The Bears feel they're a good team. And if they had a quarterback that was that good, they'd be a great team.
I know.
Much like the Patriots. We're a good team without Brady, and they're great with him.
TG also, who was up, and says that we got to Patriot Place, and he says Five Guys is the best. That is a tasty burger. Now, we don't have the drop-in from Pulp Fiction because the doctor is too busy reading his emails. What you need there is a burrito place, an authentic Mexican taqueria. I predict Mr.
No offense to our sponsor Qdoba, but aren't they supposed to be a burrito place?
Yeah. I predict Mr.
Fine burrito place too.
I predict Mr. Kraft will put a roof over the mall in the not too distant future. I don't think so.
I don't think that could happen. To be honest with you,
I think they'll put a roof over Gillette Stadium before they put a roof over Patriot Place,
and that ain't happening.
I think you need to take a poll with the listeners in regards to the kicking contest: Eric versus Gostkowski or Eric versus Fred?
Fred.
My vote is for Eric versus Fred.
Right. Because we know what Gostkowski can do. He's going to hit him.
He's not kicking. He's writing.
That's right.
The question is, can Gostkowski be a better writer than Eric can be a kicker?
Right.
Yes.
But we need to have him out there. If we're going
to
film this,
of course he's going
to
be out there.
But I want him kicking, too.
He's not going to be out there.
I want him knocking him through and then laughing at you. That's what I want.
And he can stand at the side like Bill does and throw stuff at you like Bill does to him.
Right. That's the kind of stuff he's going to be doing.
Make fun of you, scream.
And then
your mother.
And I want you, you know, coercing him into going back to the 50 to see if he can, take some money off of him as you predicted
from the 50.
I was joking.
Before you were leaving 35 yards.
No, but
sure,
what you do,
joking,
you say I'll kick
from
the 40. You kick from the 50. You give yourself some.
He's
some
not
odds.
Kicking. He's
he can't
waiting.
Hit from the 35, he said.
He's
How's
gonna
he going to
be
out there? Right?
Yes, he's going to be out there.
Yeah.
But he's
not ever. We're never going to see him.
Yeah, he's probably never going to do it. But
that's why it's going to be Eric and Fred.
You bait him into a little betting where you get to kick from the 40. He gets to kick from the 50. Some money action.
I'm not. No.
That sounds illegal.
What?
Salary cap violation on
line
one.
NFL players and betting? No, we're not putting those two together.
It's not betting on sports.
It's betting. Doesn't matter. It's not betting on sports.
Kicking's not a, I agree. Kicking not really a sport.
No, but horse and basketball are
two different sports.
As far as the NFL schedule goes, says TG, I heard the Dolphins have the toughest and the Steelers have the fourth easiest schedule. I don't know.
I don't know either. Strength of schedule he's talking about.
Right.
Doesn't Bill Belichick, you know, the head coach of the New England Patriots, like to trade draft picks from one year for the draft picks in the next year?
Sometimes.
Do you see him continuing this trend? If so, which ones do you think he will trade?
No idea.
Could be any of them.
I do think he likes doing that, but I don't know.
Who knows which ones.
And watch the Pat White tape. One big hit and the Wildcat might turn into the Pussycat. That's true. He's a little guy.
He's 6 feet, 200 pounds.
He's 190.
Closer to 200 than 190.
If you round, it's 200.
Right.
Well, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and let him round to the flat two builds. And the other thing is, he's been that his whole life. And while he was rushing for 47,000 yards at West Virginia, there were some big guys on the other team that played defensive line and linebacker.
And
some
was
good-sized safeties.
And he was a quarterback.
And he never got broken.
He took some sacks, probably.
Right.
In his career. He's fine.
John
Great
from
athlete.
Spencer, Mass. says, since the schedule's coming out tonight, I was wondering if you can help me figure out why the Pats are scheduled to play at Indy again this year.
Stop with that.
Doesn't that make it three years in a row that we play them on their turf? I may not know enough about the scheduling procedures,
obviously.
But... Wow, Eric
takes it to the next level.
You know, not everyone knows and has access to the information you have. So instead of belittling him, why don't you answer his question?
Because we've answered the question 8,000 times on SPFW. People should read that more often.
Maybe he's blind.
Wow.
What if he's blind?
Wow, does this really get you wound up?
Oh, because it's just...
I love it.
It's infuriating because these idiots either didn't start...
What? Now he's calling them idiots.
Yeah.
Because you know how many questions we get about that? Every week, it's ridiculous.
The part that's annoying about it is not that they don't know the procedures, because why would they?
Right.
Why would regular fans know
exactly? But it's readily available.
But in 2004, 5, and 6, the Colts played at New England in the regular season.
Exactly.
In 7, 8, and 9, the Patriots are playing at Indy. Why is one unfair and the other's not?
Well, because we're the Patriots.
Okay.
A couple of years ago in 07, there was a whole piping in sound controversy at the RCA Dome, which the Patriots handled well. But I can't help but feel that there was more to it than ever came out in the media. The officiating that game was also one of the most incredibly inept I've seen. I challenge anyone to watch a replay of that game and explain some of the calls, and it just makes you wonder. I hate to think about conspiracy theories.
That was my point in a nutshell, by the way.
I hate to think about conspiracy theories. I hate to sound picky, and I know that when it really comes down to it, it shouldn't matter for a team like the Pats. But why three away games at Indy since then? Well...
That's the way it works.
Because the NFL likes the Colts better than the Patriots. That's the answer that they're all looking for, so let's just give it to them.
Well, it's true.
Right, so let's just give it to them.
They like Peyton Manning more than...
No, it's just the Colts. It's the Colts in general. Don't limit it to Peyton Manning. They like the Colts better.
Okay. Let's see. Mike from Columbus. I'm looking at NFL.com. Mock drafts, and none of the analysts have Larry English in the first round. I think the Patriots are going to take defensive lineman at 23 with Perrier or Perea.
We've been calling him
Pariah Jerry.
Yeah.
And hope to get English at 34. Pariah Jerry.
Certainly that's a possibility. Yeah. The value on Larry English, if you want to believe these, is right at like 27
Tweener.
To 34.
Yep. Tweener.
But which is why I kind of made fun of these guys in the paper in our mock draft, writer's mock. They took English, and I said, "Wow, that's a bit of a reach." But
even though for weeks before that he was talking up Larry,
he's talking him up.
Now he's talking him up again.
No, I love him, and we talked about this the other day. Even if his value's not there, if you want him, take him. Because if you really think all the players are somewhat interchangeable from 20 to 40, the most important thing is that you get the player you want, not that, well, he might have actually been ranked 30th, but I took him at 23.
Right, right.
Who cares? Take the player you
want.
That's
right.
Yep. You pay him a little bit more, but in the end, if he has 10 sacks, no one's going to say, he had 10 sacks, but you probably could have got him at 30.
It's like that car dealership had that slogan years ago. It's new to you.
Right.
If you buy a used car, it's still new to you.
Right.
If it's a deal for you, if it's what you want, then it's worth it. Kieran from Ireland says, hey, PFW and Eric, just like to say great job on the draft coverage.
So great job with the draft coverage. Thank you for your service. No, Eric, I'm not mocking the military. I'm mocking you, you jackass.
Wow, an angry
very
little,
good email.
Angry little leprechaun, isn't he?
Wow. I've never called them leprechauns. I say drunk. They eat potatoes. All they have is grass.
Yeah, all the
there.
Other stereotypes.
Andy in Narragansett, I'm looking forward to the draft. Hope the Pats have another defensive draft like they did last year. I'd love to see them take an outside linebacker and cornerback with the first two picks. I don't know who I'd pick as a cornerback, but I like Larry English as an outside linebacker. On a separate note, over or under on the Pats playing four primetime games this year?
Over.
I think they'll get the max.
Yep.
What's the max? Six?
Six, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say over two.
And it may be over later. I don't know that they'll be assigned, but
five
when it plays
game.
Out, they might flex into a game or two down the road.
Earlier we were saying about how many rookies could possibly make this team. Steven from Winchester says, you guys have said a couple times that the Pats can't fit 11 rookies on the roster. Would you really be surprised if 11 of these 20 players didn't make the roster? And he goes down the line, Gutierrez, Ben-Jarvis Greenellis, Slater, Aiken, Thomas, O'Callaghan, LeVoir, Britt, Yates, Connolly, Al Johnson, Strawn Crable, Vince Red, Tully Bannacane, Eric Alexander, Bo Rude, Spahn, Williams, Hansen, Hodel.
But a lot of those guys aren't on the roster. Ben-Jarvis Greenellis was the sixth running back. I mean,
right, in addition.
Right.
So, no, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of those
Vince
guys aren't on the
in
team.
In addition.
Right.
How about this?
I mean, he had Wesley Britt, Ryan O'Callaghan, and Mark LeVoir. Well, no, all three of those guys won't be on the team, but they were not on the team at the same time ever.
How about, would you be surprised if, let's just say they take Larry English and Darius Butler with the first couple picks. Would you then be surprised if Sean Crable and Terrence Wheatley don't make the roster? Could some of those guys that we say
surprised if Terrence Wheatley didn't
if he didn't make the roster, absolutely surprised.
I think that's interesting.
But, yeah, I mean,
say they make all the picks. They're going to have a lot of players from this year's draft competing with a lot of guys from last year's draft who didn't do anything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And aren't first-round picks, so it's not like you have to contract anything. There could be some interesting battles there in similar positions.
I'm not going to rule out your Wheatley.
And you added in a couple decent corners for some depth there that could come into play if you – Butler and – I just think there could be some interesting battles of that nature.
Strippers has put together a nice little draft quiz.
Okay. Go.
See who knows their draft stuff.
Probably not me.
The first trade that occurred during the draft involved which two teams? And it's a multiple choice.
Ever?
I guess so.
No idea.
It's either the Saints and Texans, the Jaguars and Ravens, the Patriots and Saints, or the Texans and Ravens.
Well, I will go Patriots.
Oh no! This is from the, I'm sorry. This is from the 2008 draft.
Oh.
The first trade that occurred during the draft involved which two teams? Saints and Texans, Jaguars and Ravens, Patriots and Saints, or Texans and Ravens?
Patriots Saints.
Patriots and Saints is correct. In 2008,
Ravens and Texans were involved in the first ever trade. They've only been around
right.
For eight
years.
That's
what made me go back up there. In 2008, there was a record-breaking 34 trades made on draft weekend. Is that true or false?
False.
True, I believe.
False.
The answer is true. Rashard Mendenhall was the fourth running back taken. True or false?
Johnson, Stewart, and somebody else. Yeah, true.
True is correct.
Who's the other one? Oh, guy from the Raiders.
McFadden.
Bum.
McFadden.
The bust.
Yeah.
Finally, how many offensive linemen were taken in the first round last year? Four, 7, 11, or 8?
Seven,
I believe.
Oh, 8.
There was no center or guards?
There was one guard, wasn't there? Didn't the Colts take a guard?
Okay,
was that the second? There was seven tackles.
He doesn't list them all, but
there was eight. Seven tackles.
We know there were seven tackles.
So eight?
Eight.
Eight is the correct answer.
I think there was one guard. I'm not sure who it was.
You guys
oh, yeah. The,
Brandon Albert was technically a guard who got moved to tackle.
He was one of the seven tackles that was taken.
Yeah.
But he makes it.
Kamani says, I can't believe Eric is still harping on a girl he tried to pick up 4 years ago.
I'm not, you idiot. Fred was asking me a question.
He doesn't have much to go by. I mean,
he was just jealous. Why do you got to get mad?
Because he's weird.
Because you know him.
I don't know him.
You got a history, huh? Did you guys meet on Craigslist?
No.
Speaking of Craig, is he back?
You could have had your first sale to him. He had $600 ready to spend, and you wouldn't come down.
You wouldn't go down? It's never been a problem with Eric.
Now, you know, I thought we had grown up, you know. So
that was last hour.
You can't say those jokes anymore. You're now the father of a girl.
Yeah, I'm not happy with that.
You know? Let's see. Peter is out of...
from going down to Peter.
Peter is out of...
Stratford, Connecticut. He says, hi, guys, and Frank. I wanted to know if you guys thought there was a significant extra value trading our 34th pick overall and possibly a fourth in order to jump ahead into the first round for our pick, second overall pick, possibly Larry English. The reason is not so much to get our player, but to take advantage of the extra year we could sign our rookie, since players 17 to 32 get five-year contracts, while second-rounders and beyond get only four. With the upcoming labor and salary cap issues, rookie contract values are increasing, especially when considering overall length. You know, it's interesting.
There's a lot of thought
involved in
that.
Picking a guy earlier than you would think, just so that you could get him on a longer contract.
I think you only do that if there's a guy you specifically target.
That's what you mean. That's what he means. Yeah.
No, but I'm saying I don't do it because I want to get a guy for a fifth year. I do it if there's a guy
specific guy
that I have to have.
Right.
That doesn't have anything to do with the 5 years or the 4 years. I don't care.
P.S. I work as an engineer at Sikorsky Aircraft and do spreadsheets all day and put together a nice little mock draft creator. I like it because it quickly compares players to a modified value chart I made, as well as lists out the team's draft picks. So he includes that.
I have no idea what you just said.
He put together a little thing.
I got that.
Let's see. Brian in Santa Cruz, California. Good afternoon, gentlemen. The one they call the doctor and our new man behind the glass Toyota Tacoma.
Did he really write that, or did you just say that?
He's right here.
What happens if Toyota Tacoma doesn't re-up and they're no longer a sponsor?
Then he becomes something else.
Loose like he does every other expert.
He'll call him what he called him before. What did he say, Chevy Tacoma?
I'll call him the Chevy Malibu.
What if they all go out of business?
Hope you all had a good weekend, and it's great to be back listening live, as last Thursday some nut job cut an AT&T line that left us without internet or cell phone use across two counties over here for an entire day. Banks couldn't do business. Credit cards couldn't be processed. No one could use the internet or cell phones. It was a mess.
That was a whoops.
Just shows us how dependent we've become on technology. Anyhow, we're up and running again, so I thought I'd ask a quick question. Last show, you guys touched on changing the way rookie contracts are worked for high first-round draft selections. Would it be possible to lower the amount of money rookies sign for, but then have incentives in the contract for good play, so if you were like Joe Flacco last year and got your team to the conference finals, you get a nice bonus without taking the big cap hit, but if you're a bust, you don't hurt your team. Would it be possible? Thanks, and as always, you guys are top-notch. I really appreciate the great work you guys do for all us Pats fanatics. That's what we talked about at the top of the show.
Well, anything's possible, but it has to be negotiated between the players and the owners.
Right.
Sure, the owners would be all for it.
That's Fred's little, that's his baby.
And the agents.
He wants to fix the draft without throwing out the baby with the bathwater.
It's true.
That's right. Not so hot, Amy writes in. Hey, guys, and Hall of Famer, Mr. That's Paul Perillo.
Thank you very much.
First off, I just wanted to say, in the last three mock drafts I have read, Larry English stock has plummeted from the top 20 in the draft to the late second round. Have I missed something? I will be honest. My NFL news is mostly through you guys, NFL.com, and the Globe's website, so I'm well out of the loop for things like this.
No, his stock is not. But, again, it's what we talked about with Al. Why is he falling? Is he really falling? Is this, you know, media people buying into some – I mean, maybe Bill Belichick is the reason he's falling. Maybe they're putting out whispers of
– Yeah.
And then, boom, he snaps him up.
Because that's the guy we like.
We like him.
Yep.
Amy
and
says,
that's all that matters. Bill Belichick doesn't read the mocks and say, I can't take the guy because he's
listens,
falling.
He listens right here to PFW in progress.
No, I meant if he liked him, Paul.
Oh, I hope he doesn't.
Let's see.
I didn't know what you meant.
Are you going to do Hello Larry for the cover if we draft Larry English? Remember you wanted to do that when Lawrence Maroney was drafted?
No, we'll do something better than that.
Hopefully.
Pat speak English?
Well, something along, you know, with the English thing. You know,
like what?
English lesson?
Patriots take English in year they go to London. I don't know. Anyway,
why does he seems to feel the need for like 17 words and not just, I like two words, one or two words. Boom. Says it. What did you say?
English class.
Pat speak English.
English lesson would be the
English
thing.
English lesson. English class. Yeah. Something of the not Pats take English in year they go to London to see game.
Secondly,
Buccaneers in week nine.
Amy says, secondly, you said you might start a game where Eric Scalavino, staff writer for Patriots Football Weekly, has to guess the meaning of a word we send in. Well,
yes.
Here's my submission. I'm going to have to say this slowly because it's a very long word. Flockin-o-sin-i-hi-pilification. I apologize to Fred, who I have no doubt won't know how to pronounce the word. It's a very popular word, so I thought
Eric might know this
as it's the longest word in the English language, one longer than anti-disestablishmentarianism. And the meaning is...
Well, wait a minute. I got to take issue with the length of the word. I thought the longest word was pneumono ultramicroscopic silico volcanic
anisis. Wow, he even argues that. Wow.
I'm pretty sure it is.
William Berry wrote in a couple of words, but
I don't have that email.
You were supposed to. Yeah, yeah. You were supposed to.
I
sent it to you.
So what's the word again, Fred, that she sent in?
Flockin o sin ihe pilification.
I like that part.
Want me to spell
it?
No,
let me see it.
No.
No.
All right, I'll cover up the
Fred.
No.
No.
Here. He's coming over to my
the word.
You see it?
Flockin o sin ihe pilification.
Yeah, you can't say it either, pal.
He doesn't need to say it. Okay, you don't need to say it. You just need to tell us what it means.
So what does it mean? You don't know.
Over
just say,
one.
I don't know.
No, I don't know what it means.
Okay.
I said that as I was walking over
here. It means the meaning is the act of estimating something to be worthless.
Say again? The act of?
The act of estimating something to be worthless.
Okay, like Mr. Word. Irrelevant in the draft.
Like this game, maybe. Yeah,
well,
I guess so.
That's like one of those.
Well, that's what she said.
Floxenosin ahilipilification.
That's one of those things where it's actually better to use the five words that
right,
mean
than
the word
one word.
Than one word.
Don't ever use
that's
that.
A great word, Amy. Thank you for participating in the game. I appreciate it. I like it. I'm going to use it from now on.
Somebody asked a little about Adam Schefter earlier.
Hmm.
According to Chris with a TIAN,
his contract's up.
He says he's in a dispute. He wants $1 million plus per year.
Good. Get out.
According to what I heard, he had a terrible contract when he signed with the NFL Network.
I
was
heard
getting
that
paid
nothing.
Pennies.
Well, who was he before the NFL Network? I never heard of him.
Some writer from
a well-known beat writer out of
Denver.
Out of Denver. That's right.
Yeah.
That's
right. He wasn't national. But he was a pretty well-known guy.
Apparently signed a terrible contract with them when he signed.
Now, you know, I think he's really good. But don't you think he gets a little bit favorable treatment because he works for the NFL Network?
No question.
Yes.
You know, so I think he should factor that into his negotiations.
I think he does a very good job, but
you know, this is the golden goose he's working for.
Yes.
Right? You know?
I think he should be very careful.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I won't say you can just put a monkey in his job because I think he's pretty good on TV and the radio. He can obviously write a little bit, but in terms of the actual information, I think you put a monkey in his job.
Yeah. You can get a lot of people who know.
Probably a taller monkey.
You wouldn't have to have one step on a little.
Also,
chest.
According to Chris with the TIN, when the Patriots got Greg Lewis, we got their seventh. New England Patriots acquired. Let's see. The Eagles received a fifth round pick from the Patriots, and New England acquired Philadelphia's seventh round pick in 2010.
So we have an extra.
So we have
seven
an extra seventh.
Year. Okay.
So I knew there was something there.
You thought it was in the Lee Bodden trade.
I'm not,
and then you go, no,
sure
that's not
that.
The one. Because it wasn't
that was
a
the
trade.
Press release. He just sent over the press
the
release.
The press release said the specific.
It was an AP press release.
Was it an AP press release or was it a Patriots press release?
No, it was from the AP.
Then it's a story. Because AP can't put out press releases for the Patriots.
Right.
Let's see. Brian writes in, personally, I would pass on an undersized, weak-armed, inaccurate QB in the second round named Pat White. If White is available on the second day, then that would be the position to take a chance on him. The team needs too much to take a chance on athletic small guys with injury concerns in the second round. Patriots are drafting from an ideal position of value in the first and second rounds. If I was going to take a risk on an upside player who could fill multiple roles in the field, it would be Connor Barwin. I have a feeling that Brandon Pettigrew will be available at the 23rd pick. If so, do they make the pick or trade out to grab Larry English with a lower pick? The Falcons, Ravens, Eagles, Titans, and Cardinals could all use a tight end. And
I don't want the tight end.
Okay. Fred, have you already seen the schedule? No, I haven't.
Where are the injury concerns with Pat White?
Because he's small.
So they're projecting that he's going to get injured.
Yeah, right.
It's not that he's had previous injuries.
I don't think he's had a ton of injuries.
Because that's inaccurate if they're saying that he had previous a lot of previous injuries.
Guy's a four-year starter.
Exactly. My point.
Fred, have you seen the schedule? I'm not asking you to reveal it, but I am wondering if it has been released to the team's press. I would assume the schedule is not going to be a surprise to Belichick and the Krafts. No, the owners know it. They've known it for two weeks now.
They've known it, but we don't.
No. Thanks for putting out an unreadable rag in a drawn-out webcast, all while begging for yet another lunch. You have to put honor back in panhandling in Harvard Square. You have put honor back in panhandling in Harvard Square. Thank you.
Here's my thing, Paul.
On the phone is Mike from San Francisco. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
Good.
Is this Mike Singletary? Coach.
That's what you said last time I called. Maybe I should get a new name.
That's why we said it again.
Okay. So I got to thinking about this point that Fred raised last week, questioning about how the rookie salaries seem to have gotten out of control. And I thought I would take a look at a little bit of the history of the quality of the players as well as the rookie pool and how all of that stuff works. And the first thing I wanted to get out of the way is any idea that the quality of play of high-end rookies has deteriorated. And so I looked at really the last 10 years of all the top five picks, and there's really no pattern that jumps out. Interestingly, though, did you guys realize that like 3 out of 8 of the top five picks, 35% of them are really busts? I mean, not Lawrence Maroney busts, but can't play in the league hardly at all busts. And that goes all the way back to 1998 when you look at it, and hasn't really changed.
Yeah, there's been
Isn't
busts
always
all along.
Kind of been the,
now
that's
it's
always
just
kind of
the cost there. Of the bust that's gone up.
That's correct. That's correct. However, when the rookie pool has been around since like 1993, and for the last several years, it's been changing only a couple of percent a year, just as the revenue and the overall salary cap has been changing. So whenever that big change was, it was more than a couple of years ago. It must have been many years ago. It seems like the problem is inherently across the league, there's this overvaluation of higher versus lower value picks. And it's now been institutionalized in the way that they do these contracts. So there's this thing called the management council that actually allocates a rookie pool to each team. And that more or less dictates what the guy's first year salary is going to be. Even though in theory they could pay less, the agents all know how much each team has to pay, and they know how much everybody got last year, so they basically force the issue, which turns out to be not a problem anywhere except in the top five, because once you get down to the Gerard Mayo level, you're only giving the guy a couple $1 million a year, and even though half the time you're going to miss on your pick, it's not the kind of miss that kills your salary cap.
That's true.
Yeah, so what happens with these top guys is they take that cap number for the first year, they multiply that by 6, and they call that his guarantee. And then it turns out they even get more over and above that. So really the mystery to it still is, if you put yourself in the chair of the general manager and you've got the number 2 pick or the number 3 pick or even the number 1 pick, do you have the balls to say, look, kid, good luck next year. We're only going to pay you $24 million and not $36.
Well, I mean, you want the player. That's the issue that at hand. You're a bad team that needs good players, and in theory, at the top of the draft, you're picking good players. So to just let him walk, I know it sounds great. Oh, I didn't overpay to get him, but I have nothing. I didn't get a potential franchise player.
All right, that's the problem. So they really, in some sense, they're in a position of weakness. Interestingly, the number 1 pick is a little bit different because you can actually negotiate and get the contract signed before you pick. So you would think then that the club is in a position of strength. But even those guys, they're going, you know, they've actually consistently been doing $60 million the last couple of years.
Right.
36 of it guaranteed. So it's really, it's just embedded in the culture, and I don't think there's nothing you can do about that top side part of it. I think the one thing you could do is you could make adjustments, and you would, I'm pretty sure, need to negotiate with the union, but you could make adjustments that would bring down the level of guaranteed money And I think that would be, I mean, who cares about the upside money, right? If the guy earns it and deserves it, that's fine. But these guarantees, you could bring them down some by changing the tilt that's in the rookie pool, and you could conceivably also put a limit on the guarantee. So if you're, if you got the $6 million allocation in the rookie pool, you could say, you know, times two or times three that would be the limit on the guarantee that you could give the guy.
All right. Mike in San Francisco, thanks for the good draft insight there.
You'll have to credit him when you write up your report, Fred. You can put a little couple of footnotes in there from Mike in San Francisco.
Absolutely. William Berry writes in, and he does have the words.
Excellent.
So we'll end the show with trying to stump Eric.
All right.
We'll start with the first one, grandiloquent.
Grandiloquent. That means to be eloquent on a
grand level?
On a superior level.
A lofty style, right?
That one seemed a little obvious
okay.
for my liking.
How about ludic? Ludic. Spelled L-U-D-I-C.
You're supposed to wait for the Andy Penis joke on that one.
Yeah.
I don't know that one.
That's not the appendage of a guy from the North End. Ludic.
How do you spell it?
L-U-D-I-C.
Don't know it. Good job, William.
That's a short one.
What does it mean?
Of or pertaining to play or playful.
Okay.
While he was having fun out there, Brett Favre had a ludic performance.
Oh, no. Don't give him ways to use it.
So there you go.
So you're one for three on the day. And the one you got, I think Jackson Hart would have gotten.
Grandiloquent.
Okay. The word is right there. I mean,
eloquent.
The definition is right
it
there.
It kind of sounds like it. Yeah.
From self-explanatory.
From the Latin what?
Grand.
Do you know?
Eloquent?
Yeah.
Loquacious?
That's from French.
Luque?
It's not Latin. I'm trying to trick you.
What is it?
I don't know.
But the word of the day that I'm going to offer to you, Fred, is the one that I offered when Amy wrote in earlier. Pneumono ultramicroscopic silico-volcanic aneasis.
Right. That is a microscopic particle that has to do with something.
There was anuses in there somewhere.
No, there's nothing to do with it.
Say it again.
Pneumono ultramicroscopic silico-volcanic aneasis.
Aneasis. I heard aneasis.
No.
Right there. Andy, right again.
Anyway, Amy says she took her word from the Guinness Book of World Records. I guess I should have said it's the longest word in the Oxford English Dictionary.
Okay.
I would like to also point out I knew the word only because someone here used it in a quiz show called QI.
So, QI.
Not surprisingly, Eric calling Guinness Book of World Records wrong.
Didn't say that wrong. I'm just saying I thought that was always the longest word. I'm going to spell out hers and mine when we get back upstairs and
count the letters
and see which one is accurate.
Stamp yourself a geek.
All right. Well, that's going to do it
for this
edition of PFW in Progress. We will see you Thursday at noon.
That'll do it. Another PFW in Progress. We'll be back next week.
But we gave it our best.
Yes. And I guess your best wasn't good enough.
Patriots.com Radio.
I did my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough.